So am I still waiting? Waiting a long time.
Waiting for tonight.
Listen to review
right now, right? That's what you say. We get it by now.
We all have desires. We all dream. To reach places only a few have been.
Merry Christmas to you, John, and happy holidays to you, Wei, and both of you. I will love you and listen to you forever.
Of moments that could make us immortal.
He is Sage Northcutt who joins us. And Sage, first of all, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Thank you very much. Merry Christmas to you too, and thanks for having me.
Sometimes the only thing between a man and his dream is but a small and seemingly insignificant distance. A thin line.
I hope these people pick up.
Between almost and everything.
Oh, hi. I'm looking for Brian.
Oh, I think you have the wrong number.
Oh, okay.
Oh, geez. Okay, well, sorry.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, you too.
On this night, two men continue to redefine the future.
Mad Libs.
Hello.
Asshole.
How?
Are.
You?
Alive.
Who will be the one?
Every opportunity has a beginning.
Okay, so I'm having a really hard time hearing Wei because you were cutting out on me.
Every legacy starts with a dream.
Hello, can you hear? 1-2, 1-2, 1-2.
Uh-oh. What happened?
And tonight, no dream is too big.
John, I can barely hear your way, and I didn't really make out the question. I apologize.
Merry Christmas. It's John Pollock and Wei Ting. It's officially Christmas morning. A Merry Christmas to you, Mr. Ting.
All right, thank you, man. Merry Christmas to you. Oh, happy holidays. I take that the partial Merry Christmas. It's
Why?
A happy holidays. We're inclusive here. We're inclusive here.
You can say Merry Christmas. It's not...
No, how dare you?
We're not starting the show off on a debate about Christmas.
This is our holiday spectacular. It's not a Christmas show.
Holiday
how dare you say that? How dare you force your beliefs on me?
Wow.
I'm joking. I'm joking.
What would you like me to wish you?
No, I don't care. I don't care. I like Merry Christmas.
I wish every single person with their earbuds inside of their ear, gathering wax as we speak, a wonderful, wonderful season of joy and happiness.
No, okay.
Just trying to be eloquent.
Wasn't sure where you were going there.
I'm very excited about this show, Wei. This has become my favorite show of the year.
Well, Christmas is your favorite holiday of the year, so it makes sense.
I'm a big fan of Christmas, but I also like to have... I mean, this is a show where you really see who are our close personal friends out there. Who's going to do us a solid and answer the door when we knock on Christmas morning? We're going to find out those people on this show.
Who cares about us and who doesn't care?
This has become quite the Christmas ordeal, Wei, because we started this show. It's just a fun way to have people on. And now, as we get close to Christmas, it starts forming in my head like 2 weeks out. It was like, well, we need to top ourselves each year. I mean, I feel there's a certain expectation level we've set. So
definitely.
how are we going to top things?
I feel like we exhausted all of our connections last year.
Well,
we got everybody last year. Who are we gonna get?
I'm very aware of that. And it was, you know, we have great friends out there and we couldn't even fit everybody onto one show this year. And I did not want to have a 5-hour show. You especially did not want a 5-hour show, which we want to keep this. I think people want a certain length, but not a daunting length.
We don't know how long this will be. It could be 5 hours.
Actually. You know, it happened 2 years ago where I waited until Christmas morning to go live with you, and our website could not handle the size of this show. And
it was a two-parter, was it not?
I think I ended up doing it in two parts because I was so attached to this show. It was my baby. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't cut out enough to make it under the whatever it was, 100 megabyte cap that our old website, this was probably five websites ago, two years ago was. We've gone through many versions of our website. The latest being this one.
Yeah.
Which I wonder if this one's going to be the one.
Oh, I don't know. But I enjoy it every year. I really don't do anything for these. This is all John Pollock. This truly is John Pollock's baby. And he takes the time to reach out to everybody, books every guest, and I just sit here and I listen. Just
you know
like
what the best part is? It's all people that want to be on the show. So it's not, it's not really to me a tough part. It's reaching out and hoping that they will come on. So I'm very grateful to whoever joins us for the Christmas show. I don't even know who's joining us today, Wei.
You just sent out the feelers and then we're just going to call. We're cold calling.
Oh, yes.
We?
Yeah. We don't know who's going to answer.
Right.
Could
get
very awkward if there's just a busy signal or it goes right to voicemail.
Right.
We're hoping that we have some names, some big guests.
No, me too.
On the horizon. I don't want to discuss your Christmas tree situation, even if it comes up later. But what is, what's your Christmas like this year, with your folks? Are you going to be doing anything?
Tonight, yeah, I'm probably just going to stay at home with them and, maybe we'll go out.
Do you have any Christmas dinner traditions?
Not really traditions. We'll just go out to eat.
Where are you going to go?
Probably a Chinese restaurant. Oh. My parents would, they seem to only eat Chinese food.
See, I have, multiple sets of, families to go see. So my day will be, well, I'm chatting with you. And then I'm going to
This is your most important family right here.
My brother here, Wei Ting.
Yep.
I will then spend the morning with my family. Then I'm going to drive out to Barrie, John Ramdean land, for another.
John Ramdean's family?
I'm not going to see John Ramdean's family.
Okay.
He will probably be busy with his own, but, a different family in Barrie that I will be having lunch with. And then.
Whose family is that?
This would be my wife's family.
Okay, you could have just said that. I mean,
well, other family.
I assumed a random other family.
Yes, I'm just going to a house on the left, and I'm going to knock on the door, and hopefully, much like our guests on this show, they will join us and let me in. And then I will come back from Barrie for Christmas dinner with my side's family, like my cousins.
Oh, okay. Wow, you got like three sets. Four sets, really.
Well, kind of one is like my core family in the morning, and then their like aunts and uncles on my mom's side for Christmas dinner.
Oh, so that's a lot of food.
It's going to be a lot of driving it's going to be.
Are you going to be eating similar things for all of them?
For the lunch and dinner, yes. It will be probably turkey and the regular.
So why doesn't one of those families switch it up? 1 year. Maybe order Chinese food. Maybe, soup.
We could.
Just soup.
No, that's my New Year's Eve tradition. This will be the fourth year me and my wife have done this on New Year's Eve, where we just stay home and we order a ridiculous amount of Chinese food.
Yes.
And I love it.
It's a good backup because, Chinese restaurants will never close for any reason.
Last year we watched 2.5 Star Wars movies. We watched A New Hope.
Uh-huh.
We watched Empire Strikes Back, and then we got halfway through Return of the Jedi. This year, I think we're going with the Harry Potter movies. We watched the first one.
Well, you're not going to do the prequels?
No.
Of Star Wars?
No, I've never seen I saw one of the prequels.
Harry Potter. Gotcha.
Yes.
Cool.
Were you a Harry Potter fan?
Not at all.
No.
Although I did see Fantastic Beasts recently.
Oh, that's the J.K. Rowling spinoff where...
Yeah.
The advertising is very much like this is part of the continuation of Harry Potter, but it's not.
It's part of the world is how it was put.
Are there any characters?
No,
all different.
But I believe like a lot of the concepts are the same, and it was Fantastic Beasts was like sort of an old text that was always referenced in Harry Potter, And now you actually get to see what, I guess, that text is about.
Do you think J.K. Rowling has, I mean, a very financial pigeonhole, but pigeonholed herself? Like, she couldn't come out and do, like, a slasher film, could she?
I think she could.
She could do anything?
I feel like it, but I mean,
I feel there's now an expectation level that you have to stay in this wheelhouse now.
She's a wizard person. Yes. But,
like, look on a smaller scale.
But is that a bad thing? To kind of, you know, she knows her market and she basically, you know, can print as much money as she can, you know, with that demographic. So why not?
She must be satisfied because it's just
think so.
that carrot is dangling to just continue Harry Potter through it. Like, look at that Saw franchise and how much they pumped out of that one. You're telling me Harry Potter doesn't have an adult life to embark upon.
Oh, so you're saying like an adult Harry Potter?
Yeah. Harry Potter having a child.
Sure.
This can go on forever. She can make billions from now until whenever her time comes.
She could. She could. I mean, maybe in the future. I mean, you see with Star Wars now, we'll have unlimited amount of sequels and prequels. So it's possible.
Have you seen the new Rogue One?
By now I have.
You have.
But it feels like it's somewhere maybe in the
You just
future.
Saw it a few days ago.
Yes, I
right
did.
Right before Christmas.
Yeah, but funny, it's almost like I didn't see it yet.
You might have to see it again.
Oh, maybe.
Do you think I will like this movie? Having not really...
I think
what do I need to know going into
Did you like The
this?
Last Star Wars?
I love The Force Awakens. I really enjoyed it.
I mean, I saw it. But I,
you're
almost,
not gonna
it's
ruin
almost
anything.
Like I haven't seen it yet, but yeah, out of respect for you, it's almost like I'll pretend I haven't seen it yet and that I'll see it in 2 days. From what I hear, I think it's really good.
Everyone's raving about this.
I think as a movie alone, you'll probably enjoy it. As long as you probably know the concepts of, you know.
Well, that's the problem. I don't know the concepts.
Well, you know who Darth Vader is.
Yes.
You know that in the beginning of episode 4, the rebels are aligning to, take over the, Empire.
So where in the chronology of the films is this movie taking place? In between 3 and 4?
Right before 3.
Right before.
Oh, sorry, right before. You're sorry. You're exactly
before
right.
A New Hope?
Yeah. Right before,
right before 4. A New Hope.
Yeah, right before 4.
Okay.
Before 4. Yeah.
Exactly.
Is this the best way to start a Christmas show?
This is the perfect way to start a Christmas show.
God.
Have you heard of any popular toys this year for Christmas? Have you heard about the Hatchimal?
What the hell is that? No.
It's apparently one of the most popular presents for children this year. It's this egg that hatches and some kind of stuffed animal or surprise comes out of the egg, but you don't know what it's going to be. It's called the Hatchimal.
What?
It's like impossible
you
to get.
You don't know what kind of animal? Is it like a limited number of animals? Or
I think it's just like a little stuffed animal or something. It's not like a living creature or something like that.
Sounds really dumb.
I've listened to the description. I've seen it. I just don't – like sometimes I can look at toys. It's like, okay, I get the appeal of this. Yeah. This one I don't quite get. To me, it's like a Kinder Surprise. I just thought, great idea, but crap. Like,
oh, yeah. It's all shitty dollar stores.
It's like, what am I going to get? Yeah, some fucking plastic where you can make a fake chariot out of. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
This is a great idea. You buy chocolate and you get something in the middle. But the prize was always awful. Yeah. And this is the same thing with a Hatchimal.
You're paying for the
I'm getting like one of those little beanie babies.
You're paying for the experience of the mystery, you know, and sort of the potential.
It's like this show. You're downloading it. You don't know who's going to be on the show.
We're the Hatchimals of
wrestling
podcasts.
We are the Hatchimals of wrestling podcasts on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And we have multiple eggs that are all – They're under the lights here, and they are going to hatch strategically on a timer over the next couple of hours.
Oh, how deep.
Hopefully less than 3 if Wei has his way.
I think so.
Which is, I look at the time now, it's probably time for one of those eggs to crack, which I do sense it is. And it sounds like it's quite a loud egg. It sounds like it has quite the set of vocal cords on it. So let us await the Hatchimal of the Review Away Christmas show and find out who drew number 1 in the Review Away Christmas Royal Rumble.
Come on and fight back. We'll start it over again. We'll take it right back from the ones we're again. It's time to rise up, even though they left us for dead. This is our
Yo, 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 it's John Pollock and Wei Ting with the Bipolar Rock and Roller.
It's ho, 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 then you mofo. Joe Poe and the Wei. The Wei Ting Clan in the house.
Oh, my God.
Well, listeners, as you can hear, it's Christmas morning, and we are joined by the voice of SmackDown Live, Showtime Championship Boxing, the man that has more jobs than there are hours in the day, Mauro Ranallo, our close personal friend joining us here on Christmas morning. A Merry Christmas to you, sir.
Hey, Merry Christmas to each and every one of you. You guys went for the audio lump of coal, I see. You brought in a blast from the past. And how are the north of the 49th on this sacred holiday of ours?
You might have to put your glasses on because you might not be able to see how high you've placed the bar on our guests.
Whoa! Well, hey, watch how you use that term, how high, with me, buddy.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
You know, we had to contact you on Christmas because it's the only day off that I was aware that you've had thus far in 2016, Mauro. I mean,
Well, I'm battling the guy in the red suit. He's trying to cut me off here as we are still on the tarmac. I think I've been sitting on the tarmac all year. And by the way, I want to wish a Merry Christmas to hashtag TSA holes and the American airline industry, which is an unmitigated disaster. I think the only thing that orange-haired troll that's going to take over the administration of the United States of America beginning on January 20th, the only thing that he said right in 2016 are that American airports are third world. How do you like that, baby?
You know, it's freezing here in Toronto. It is like -5 Celsius, and we have brought in the fire here in Mauro Ranallo to keep us all warm here on Christmas. I mean, this is on fuego,
hey,
as you would say.
Hey, Becky Lynch has nothing on my fire, baby. The straight fire of the Irish last picker, hey, has nothing on the ultra flame of the verbal flamethrower, dropping nothing but truth bombs on my friends and foes from the six. And yet, even though I'm a middle-aged Caucasian male, I will continue to use terms like the six, like it's lit, and like everything next year is going to be on fleek.
I've got tears forming here. Mauro, how are you spending Christmas? Are you with the family? Where are you on this Christmas morning?
Well, I'm going to be roasting some Mama Ranallo's gnocchi by an open fire, and probably trying to shovel off the paved driveway. The greatest gift that I could give my parents and anyone who's known me for a long time knows that I was born and raised, and my family still lives at the same homestead out in the mighty metropolis of Mount Lehman, British Columbia. But for many years, like, our driveway is the length of a street block. No BS here. And there were nothing but potholes and gravel, a typical farm driveway. And thanks to the many blessings that I've been afforded, especially this year, realizing the dream of working with WWE, I was able to afford the ability to pave my parents' driveway. And so for me, that's how I'm spending Christmas morning, is telling my parents to keep looking at the driveway and realize that their son actually did make something of his life.
Well, and if it wasn't apparent already, I mean, 2016 was the exclamation point. I mean, surpassing Chad Kroger as the most famous man out of Abbotsford. I think that was confirmation this year, Mauro.
Hey, what about Sonny Dinta? He's going to give me a run for my money. Half of the Authors of Pain, who are the Dusty Rhodes classic tag team champs. He's also from Abbotsford, a stalwart amateur wrestler who, well, I hope that they also continue their success in 2017. But I do appreciate the sentiment, my friend.
Do you kind of look back? I mean, what has this year meant for you, Mauro? I mean, just the fact that you've been able to handle all of these different roles, whether it is pro wrestling one night, mixed martial arts, boxing, kickboxing, the others. I mean, this has been quite the year for you. Has it been different than any years past for you, just because of the wide range of audiences now that you're speaking with on a weekly basis?
Well, I can honestly say that the year, like yours truly, has been bipolar, and I don't use the term loosely. I have experienced the ultimate professional highs of working at WrestleMania, of calling John Cena AJ Styles at SummerSlam, of, you know, so many of my professional dreams came true. But then on the flip side, as I have referred to this year, the Rapture of the Arts 2016, it's also been very hard for me personally, losing my cousin who's a year younger than me over the summer. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as all of us, you know, we experience our highs and our lows. But this year for me is definitely a year in which, you know, I will celebrate, but I will also commemorate and remember. And it ended fittingly with yours truly speaking to a public audience in the form of the Art Squad, the Vancouver Police Department's production team that was put together a few years ago to help the youth on the downtown east side, or youth in general, stay off drugs, out of gangs, find their calling in life. And my brother, who's been a near two-decade member of the Vancouver Police Force, asked me to give a keynote speech, and that happened just a few weeks back. It was the first time that I actually talked in that forum in front of my mother and all my family and members of the Vancouver Police Department about my trials and tribulations with mental health issues. So for me, I think it's the beginning of what will be more of an advocacy moving forward in 2017 and beyond. My very good friend Harris Yusanovich is just putting the finishing touches on a documentary about my life and my trials and tribulations, and I'm hoping to continue to inspire people with their mental health struggle, as you've seen, guys. I mean, Hollywood, the hip-hop game, a lot of rappers are dealing with their own mental health issues, and it seems like the conversation is becoming louder. In fact, President Obama just recently signed his signature on the 21st Century Cures Act, which is going to help mental health reform in the United States. But, you know, a lot to be grateful for. And again, you know, we pay tribute to those that we lost this year, both professionally and personally.
I actually had a preview screening of Morrow's documentary, and it's fantastic. I wanted to ask you, I mean, since your time with the WWE over the past year, have you grown your platform to spread that message a lot? And have you kind of heard about responses to people who might have been dealing with those issues personally?
Yeah, exponentially. It's, you know, again, having been at this for a long time, and yet here at the age of 46, getting hired by the WWE at the beginning of the year. In fact, the year anniversary is coming up. But the amount of power that WWE has on social media and as a global entertainment entity, it's astounding. And it even shocked me, even though I have followed it closely in the media and as a fan. Once you are in the epicenter, it truly does show you just how powerful it is. And I do get a lot of texts and tweets from fans all over the world. It's amazing how popular WWE is in the United Kingdom and even in South America and literally every point on the globe. And it has allowed me and afforded me an opportunity to spread my message. And I do receive nothing but support from all of my colleagues and the powers that be there. And, of course, my friends at Showtime and even you guys. I mean, the entire media, really. Every time that I've been asked to do an interview, whether it's wearing my boxing commentator's hat or MMA or kickboxing or WWE, everyone asks about that. And even I remember, we lost Inside MMA this year, Boss and I. But one of the highlights for me was when we had Brian Stann, who was, you know, a bit of a revelation as an analyst in mixed martial arts. And I still truly believe a guy that will one day, if he wants, find himself residing at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C. But after we interviewed him on Inside MMA, even, you know, he and I discussed what we're doing for mental health and otherwise. And to hear from a true American hero like that and have him throw his support around my cause, it means everything. So WWE has definitely helped, but I truly believe this is like a snowball, guys. Once it starts rolling, it's just going to get bigger and bigger.
Well, Morrow, we don't want to keep you any longer here on Christmas morning, but just want to wish you a Merry Christmas and also a belated happy birthday. Morrow just turned 30 last week on the 21st. We always appreciate it. I don't think I even need to promote all of the different platforms this man can be found on. Of course, the Rinaldo Rootin podcast, which is a staple for any listeners out there. And of course, you know, a couple little promotions that he lends his voice to on a weekly basis. And Moro, so great of you to join us here on our Christmas show. It means a lot, and continued success going into 2017. We're very happy for all the success you're having.
Well, and I want to wish you guys continued success. You guys have been there, you know, at a critical stage in my career, and I'm blessed to know both of you and everyone you guys are associated with. And I just want to wish the Prodigy and Wei Kang Clan the happiest of holidays and the blessed, most incredible new year, 2017, bitch.
As a legend once said, I like your rap, kid. We'll just
go kiss my ass.
Oh, here we are, Jay. Once again, it's that time of year. We're gathered around the lovely Christmas microphone to give a loving Christmas message to all our fans.
Funny thing is, this is Sunday. Christmas fell on a Sunday this year.
Right.
This is the first year in how many years that we haven't had a show on the air? Think about it.
Oh, geez, Jay. Long time. Because there's always some combination that's here to do it, right? And yeah, so you're right. This is the first time in like probably almost forever.
So we have decided to be slackers this year.
We are. We're slacking off big time.
But we've left all of this to John and Wei with their Christmas special.
Oh, and they always have a great thing worked out. It'll be nice and festive, you know. I've already just had some huge chunks of turkey and pie and cookies. And, you know, I'm already about ready for a nap already, actually.
They know it's not live.
Oh, okay.
Are you ready for a nap right now? We're about to go do a show.
Oh, yeah. Well, that pay-per-view. I'm sorry, but Roadblock didn't do a lot to keep me awake. I have to say.
Now all the suspension of disbelief is gone. That's enough out of us.
You blew it. I tried.
So there we have it. Jason Agnew and Dan the Mouth Labransky joining us.
Mm-hmm.
And we have certainly started off on a high note with Moro Ranallo.
Literally.
The voice himself.
Mm-hmm.
I chose that song to enter in with Moro, but it was a little tough because you don't associate any one particular song with Moro.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't come out to music.
Okay. Yes. True.
So,
yeah.
I mean, sometimes.
Why did you choose that song?
Well, you know, I didn't really think about it until like a day ago that if we were to have this person on, this is the music I would want to have ready.
Cool.
And therefore I went with that particular tune. But, that guy is so incredibly busy. I mean, I sometimes.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? Like he should be this busy because he's that talented. You know what I mean? I've known him for a long time and I've always felt like he should be on a world stage, and it's great that he's, you know, basically in demand from so many people at a high level.
He's lit.
On fleek.
He is. You know what's crazy is when you think about, I mean, he's coming up on a year he's been with the WWE, and you look at all the different people he's been placed with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he started SmackDown with Jerry Lawler, and then it was moved, and you had JBL and Otunga. Then he was the 205 Live just with Corey Graves. Then Austin Aries was added. He did the CWC with Daniel Bryan. And that's not even including when he's on Glory or Showtime.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's amazing just all the different people he's worked with.
Yeah, especially in our industry, you know, covering both boxing, MMA, or all three, boxing, MMA, and pro wrestling. I mean, it feels like, I mean, we had, what's his name? Bazooka Joe from Glory?
Yes.
Who
sat with me, just across the aisle from me at Raw here in Toronto.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Okay. Joe Valtellini.
Joe Valtellini. I mean, you know, just somebody from that world and perhaps even, you know, somebody from pro wrestling that we think has nothing to do, with Glory Kickboxing. I mean, just the fact that everybody will have some story about Moro, no matter kind of what facet of combat sports they're from, shows you how, you know, how much this guy has done in our world.
With the end of the year, how do you think the brand split has gone since July? Grade this brand split.
I would grade it maybe, maybe about a B plus, somewhere in between B and B plus. I think overall it's made, but in the end, if the aim was to make SmackDown a show that's worth watching, it's achieved that. You know, now instead of just watching 3 hours, I make an effort to watch 5 hours, not just because we do a review, but because all
sometimes six,
but all 5 hours are relevant now. So, I would say that it's been very successful in that end. It's certainly kind of watered down some of the product, you could say, but I feel like in the end, it's also just, it's probably done more to help a lot of talent who haven't been getting the TV time. And you can look at people like an AJ Styles who have certainly benefited from, you know, the brand extension.
I feel that SmackDown has definitely been not artificially lifted, but you take Talking Smack out of this year's lineup. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we look at SmackDown in the same way, because to me, it's sure. Not so much that this talent has been given this extra show unto their own, but also they've been given a platform like a Talking Smack in a different light that has helped a lot of characters. Alexa Bliss comes to mind, Baron Corbin, probably the biggest would be The Miz with that one segment that I think really shifted everyone's... This guy was already improving, but that was such a turning point for this character that's been on WWE television since 2005. Yeah. 2004, if you're including Tough Enough. So I think that show was really a revelation of just putting character, and it wasn't even out of character.
Yep.
It's in character, but it was done with more leeway, and you've seen good interviews and you've seen bad interviews, but it's at least putting them in a position where you can either succeed or fail. And I think there's something really interesting about that if you're watching from that perspective, right, of how they deal with something that is not so structured.
I completely agree. I think in a world where, you know, a big complaint about the current wrestling product is that things are a little too controlled. Talent aren't able to go out there and improvise like they used to be called upon to do. I think Talking Smack has proven to be something that's been really interesting that they've stumbled upon, and I think something very valuable for something like the network.
Might be my best show of 2016. We will find out this weekend when we do our best of 2016 show on The Law. But I can see the countdown clock has risen yet again. It is about to tick down as I see another hatchimal that's about to crack. Well, we are joined here Christmas morning. We are going over to MLW Radio Land, and we are joined by Canadian royalty, Mr. Saint Laurent, who is with us on the program. MSL, a Merry Christmas to you down in Florida.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, fellas. It's I'm a bit of a night owl, so I've just stayed up all night to make sure I don't miss this Christmas morning. Here I am.
I love it. Christmas Eve and Christmas morning, it just all melds into one for you.
Yeah, let's just combine it, bro.
How did you acquire these strange sleeping patterns where you just go all night and then sleep during the day? Is that your typical pattern?
Yeah. I mean, even when I was a kid, it was a major, major issue. You know, you'd have to get up at 7 a.m. for school and I'd still be up from the night before. So this is a lifelong torment.
How does the great-grandson of Louis Saint Laurent end up in Florida? Because as long as I've been hearing the name MSL, you've always been based in Florida.
Yeah.
As long as I've heard the name.
Well, you know what it was? When my father was a little kid, he was a bit of a political symbol because my great-grandfather was trying to unify the English-speaking and the French-speaking parts of the country. And so my father, when he was very young, was sent to the English-speaking part of the country to be educated in a boarding school. And to show the French that it's okay, we can all get along. If it's good enough for my grandson, it should be good enough for everybody. But so what happened is then there were attempts and threats to kidnap my father for ransom. So my father actually didn't grow up with his family. He was raised by nuns in a boarding school with heavy security. And I think as soon as he was old enough, he just wanted to go off on his own. He moved to Florida to go to college, never looked back. So I was born down here, and I hate to travel, so I'm not going anywhere, guys.
Wow. Wow. Do you have much contact with, I guess, the family back where home in Quebec?
Yeah, I've just never visited. But, you know, I stay in touch. You know, sometimes I get offers to wrestle up there, and I don't wrestle anymore. So if they need an English commentator, I guess I would do that. But, no, it's interesting because where I live, like, nobody cares that I'm the great-grandson of the prime minister, and then I'll meet a Canadian wrestling fan. And to them, it's really big deal. So, you know, 1% of the time, I guess I matter.
Oh, definitely more than that.
I mean,
I find it very impressive here that we are on the line here with someone that has way more notoriety in Canada than myself and Wei Ting here.
Well, you know, the funny thing is when I won my first wrestling championship, which was the Florida Heavyweight Championship, maybe back like in 2003, the first website that reported it was The Law. So I appreciate the years of kindness.
That might have been a Jeff Merrick news bit.
Yeah, it could have been.
If I'm going back in the Rolodex.
Yeah.
Wow, that's an interesting stat that even I was not aware of.
Yeah, there you go, man.
Now, you and Court, you guys are coming up on 5 years since you started doing the podcast. I know MLW itself predates that. But, I mean, you wear so many different hats in professional wrestling. How much has the podcast affected other areas, whether it's booking, training, getting yourself booked and such? Has the podcast really changed that? Because many people now know you through MLW Radio.
Yeah, it's interesting. We just had our 5-year anniversary, and we've got all these different shows now. And it's definitely raised my notoriety because I get to do the show with Sullivan, with Kevin Sullivan. I was co-hosting Jim Cornette's show for a while. I've got the show with Court. And, no, things have picked up. I'm doing a lot of commentary now. I did some commentary for Evolve earlier in the year. Doing FIP and ACW and maybe some other stuff down here that I can't announce, but a lot of it's on Flow Slam. So I think being down here in Florida, it used to be kind of out of sight, out of mind. And I think now that there's this Flow Slam subscription thing, the Florida wrestling is getting a lot more attention.
Do you think, MSL, there's a reason why wrestling fans seem to gravitate towards the medium of podcasting that I feel much more than many others?
Yeah, you know, I think here's a big thing, guys. Let's think about it. Wrestling fans in general, even though maybe sometimes there's a negative connotation or the advertising industry looks at, you know, wrestling fans as lower class or whatever the case may be, when it comes to technology, wrestling has been on the cutting edge from the early days of television to putting pay-per-view on the map to now with the WWE Network really going to the subscription service far ahead of a lot of the other sports with the podcasting as well. I think wrestling fans are more obsessive than any other sport fan, and so therefore they're more willing to try new technology. And I think we're going to see this for decades to come, as technologies that we wouldn't even be able to imagine yet that would blow our minds if we could go into the future and see them. I think over and over, it's going to be wrestling fans that are more willing to take that leap before any other sports fans.
As you look ahead to 2017, I mean, what is the big story you're watching? Because I think the advent of Flow Slam and having a non-WWE streaming service that can encompass so many different promotions for one set monthly fee, I feel that was where things needed to go. But as you're looking ahead, I mean, this to me is going to be really interesting where we are a year from now and what impact this can have on independent promotions that don't have those attachments to WWE.
Yeah, I mean, there's two things to me that are fascinating to watch. The Flow Slam thing, I'm excited because I'm involved. I don't know which ones have been announced and not announced, but it's looking like I'm going to be doing commentary for Flow Slam probably 3 times a month in 2017. So I'll be busy. I'm excited. But I think the real big story right now is, and it's been going on for a few years, fellas, but the fact that WWE has forgotten the fundamental booking philosophy of pro wrestling. And when you're an empire, you can make poor choices, and it doesn't mean you're going to fall apart the next day. It doesn't mean you're going to fall apart the next year. But as the cracks start to widen, eventually, before you know it, you've got this giant sinkhole. And I really think year after year, going back for a while now, WWE, the idea of being able to establish a popular hero that the entire audience is behind and excited by, and a hated villain, and them clashing in the big match. WWE doesn't know how to do that anymore. And so how many years are going to go by before eventually we really see the damage that's been done? I think right now it's a lot of smoke and mirrors. Every year for WrestleMania, they can bring back guys from the past, back when they knew how to make stars. But we're going to be getting to the point soon where things are really going to fall apart. We've got so many pay-per-views. We don't have many stars. I don't think this can go on forever.
It's a great point you bring up. And I mean, I've discussed this with Cord as well. It's like the WWE, they've somewhat created this system for themselves where it's not like we look back in the territory days where you make a bad decision, you'll feel it at the gate the next week, or you have a bad buildup, your pay-per-view number will be affected. They have almost created this system where your television revenue is fixed, your network subscribers, there's going to be little ebbs and flows, but you largely know that it's a consistent number that I think it kind of has brought up a generation of writers where you don't have those immediate consequences that traditional bookers did have to deal with if they had a bad idea that didn't connect.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think also, you know, now that the pay-per-views, and I don't know how different the pricing was in Canada, but for here, you know, when the pay-per-views were $50 every month, to that average fan, the pay-per-views have essentially gone from 50 to 10. That's a huge difference. And when you're paying $10, maybe you're less likely to cancel over one crummy show. You know, over one disappointing finish. Maybe now on a pay-per-view, you can end with a DQ or a screw job, whereas before when guys were spending $50, it was a bigger risk. So I don't ever see there being some huge drop. I just think it's a slow descent into the abyss. And I wish, especially here on Christmas Day, that I had a more positive message for you guys. but I don't really see this turning around until maybe at some point, if Vince steps down, because, you know, you gotta blame the guy at the top, right? And let's point this out. I do think a few years ago, or maybe almost a decade at this point, this was a conscious decision from Vince. Austin left, Rock went to the movies, Goldberg walked out, Brock walked out, Hogan refused to do a job and walked out. And Vince said to himself, I'm not gonna make these megastars anymore. I don't wanna give anybody that power. I'll just push the brand and I'll have all the control. The only problem is it didn't work, and now come WrestleMania time, he has to pay more than he ever had to pay before to get the top talent.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there's too much of an emphasis in the company now on kind of all these extra things, you know, making more shows, making more content for the network, and less so on the booking? And do you think, you know, Vince is really aware of that?
Yes, that's a great point. WWE is awesome at everything other than producing a good wrestling show. I mean, they have mastered everything else, but the steak and potatoes is not there. You know, every time there's a big moment, you know, we had the most recent pay-per-view, right? Seth Rollins is supposed to be the big babyface, and yet during the pay-per-view match, it's crickets, or Cena or Roman Reigns or whoever else are getting booed in the big moments. Wrestling can't work like this. Think about when you guys were kids. Everybody was unified behind the hero. Who is going to go to a Spider-Man movie if Spider-Man's been booked in a way where 80% of the audience doesn't like him?
Well, it's grand questions. I'm sure many people having this exact conversation tonight at their Christmas dinner table.
Yes, this is the St. Laurent Christmas dinner table conversation.
This is it. Yes. What would great grandfather Louis do in this?
I don't know, but he was a huge wrestling fan.
Was he?
And the arena that they had in Montreal, the name escapes me at this point. This is many years ago. My family was always there in the front row. Yvonne Robert, who was a big star in the area for many years, his nephew was my father's roommate in boarding school. They still keep in touch to this day. You know, my father's nearly 80 years old at this point, but him and Yvonne Robert's nephews are still very close. So the St. Laurents and wrestling have been connected in Quebec for many, many decades.
Wow, this is like a history lesson and a Christmas message, all in one from one Mr. St. Laurent. As we let you go, any plans for your Christmas celebration? What does Christmas look like for Mr. St. Laurent?
My main plan is just to listen to the Review Away Christmas special. The second it drops, I'm sure there's all sorts of great guests. I want to hear it.
Well, fantastic answer. We wish you a great holiday season. You can always catch MSL over at MLWRadio.com doing great shows every Friday with Kevin Sullivan. Some must-listen-to stuff. And, of course, you can follow him at MSL on Twitter. And thanks so much for taking a small portion of your Christmas morning to spend it with us, whether you are getting up now or going back to sleep.
I'm
going
to go to sleep, but this was awesome. Thanks for having me.
See you there. It's just me, Brian Maxwell Mann, being joined by Nate. We're sitting here next to the Keep It 100 soundboard, and we're just enjoying the holiday seasons. Nate, how are you doing this this Christmas day?
Oh, I am doing well, brother man, and this is a pretty swanky digs, man. We got all these nice leather-bound books and the smells of rich mahogany. It's good, man. It feels like home, Brian. It's cozy.
It really is cozy, and this is the time of year where we reflect on how this past year has treated us. And, you know, Nate, people certainly know how we feel about the way this country and this country's electorate has treated us. And even though they gave us the generous gift of 3 million more votes for our preferred candidate, we don't have any good tidings in that department. So let's discuss something we're a little more known about, or at least we're previously known for, and that is the fate of TNA. A lot happened to it this year that we didn't really get to talk about, and you've been watching the product more so than I have. But what? How's the on-screen product going? Let's start with the positive.
The on-screen product has been pretty solid. Like, you can make the argument, depending on which week you tune in, that TNA is the best wrestling show on TV. And I'm including Raw, which is just too damn long. I'm including SmackDown, which is consistently really good, but it has its ups and downs sometimes. And I'm including Ring of Honor, which always has great wrestling, but the storylines sometimes leave a lot to be desired. To me, Impact Wrestling has been very strong this year. Whether you're talking about, the brilliance that is Broken Matt Hardy and the saga of Final Deletion and everything that spawned from that. You know, I think that is the freshest thing that we've seen in wrestling in a while. And it certainly, in my opinion, was the gimmick or the angle or the storyline of 2016. So that was strong. You've also got some pretty fresh faces, you know, whether you're talking about Aaron Rex, the former Damian Sandow, or Moose, or people like that showing up. Cody Rhodes stopped in the company for a brief while. So TNA feels, from a television standpoint, more secure than it has in a long time. You know, I remember we used to talk about those Destination America shows. I could barely get that name out because it brings up such traumatic memories for me. But ever since they moved to Pop TV, I think they've been steadily improving, steadily becoming more of a watchable show. And this past year, TNA has been pretty good.
And a lot of that has been kind of the increased involvement of Billy Corgan and some stuff behind the scenes. Now, I'm curious, everything that's still being shown now, this has all been taped previous to a lot of the backstage problems in terms of there was a lawsuit that has now kind of been resolved, and Billy Corgan is no longer with the company, and former lead writer David Lagana has also left the company as well. Has any of the show come out since that departure has happened? We as far as I'm aware, none of the broadcasted stuff has or nothing's been taped since these shakeups.
No, just the only thing that would have been taped after that would have been some of the stuff for Total Nonstop Deletion.
Gotcha.
And Jeremy Borash was kind of the point man on that. So some of that stuff took place after everything kind of blew up. But for the most part, the stuff that has been shown from the Impact Zone, that was all previous to Billy Corgan leaving the company.
And that's the thing. It's always good to end on a positive note, because that's certainly where things seem like they're going to be headed. If we are fortunate enough to be
on this Christmas episode in 2017, I doubt that we'll be talking about a complete 12 months worth of TNA product, because it's not looking very good for them. They're certainly having their financial struggles. In fact, they have completely closed down their offices. They're now running everything out of their old merchandise, their old warehouse. Billy Corgan leaving after attempting to get a lot of the financial documents released publicly because they weren't paying talents, and there's other financial disputes. Nate, does this upset you? Are you able to say, like, well, at least they're on a positive note, or do you still believe, do you think they're ending on a positive note, or are you a little more optimistic in thinking that they might live on to see another day? Because they've lived past a lot, but it's certainly never been this dark. I mean, that's the thing, like, they have been on a downward trend for many years, but the question is just, where is the bottom?
Yeah, I think it's not the ideal way to end the year, but I do think it's been more secure than in years past. You know, I'd look at the positives. I would look at the partnership with Anthem as a positive, because that seems to be stable. I would look at, you know, the relationship they have with Pop TV, even though it's not the biggest network out there, it seems to be much more hospitable than their relationship with Destination America or even Spike TV at the end. So I think that's a positive. I think they've been generally getting positive feedback and positive buzz and reviews from the fans out there, due in large part to the stuff that the Hardys have been doing. But I think the stigma that TNA had, while it's still there, I don't think it's as oppressive as it has been in years past. So I do think there's some positives for this company to build on. There's always negatives, though, you know, to for every blessing there's a curse. And I do think that Dixie Carter, that still is a big issue for me. You know, I think that one of the good things I liked about Billy Corgan was that he was trying to innovate. And did the things that he was trying to do always work? No. But at least he was trying to be a little bit more progressive with this product that is Impact Wrestling. Whereas with Dixie, I don't know if she's going to take chances. And so I think best case scenario is Dixie kind of steps back and let the people at Anthem, or lets the people in production, or lets people like Matt Hardy or JB take the lead on some things and not try to be as hands-on or as in the way. But that's not the Dixie Carter that I know and love. And I say that with my tongue all up in the cheek.
Christmas is not the yearly celebration of TNA. It is instead, it's a time to come together with people you love, with friends and family, and exchange gifts and show some appreciation. And Nate, I see you're holding a gift wrap box, and I'm holding a gift wrap box here, so I figured let's go ahead and give each other our gifts.
I think that'd be really cool, Brian, and I hope that you like my gift.
Okay, we'll save the best for last. You can open your second, but I'll go ahead and open mine now. Oh, wow, Nate, wow, what is this? This is incredible. This is...
I knew you'd like it, man. I knew, after all that we went through doing Review America, I thought the perfect Christmas present for Brother Man is an autographed copy of WrestleMania 23 signed by Linda McMahon herself.
Oh, my goodness, the new head of the Small Business Association. This is... Thank you. I really appreciate this. This is great. She, Man, how did you get this? Was it part of like a campaign giveaway or?
Yeah, I mean, I was totally playing a gimmick on Review America. I'm still a black Republican, man. Come on.
Well, Nate, this is we're gonna need to have some chats after this recorder turns off. But
it was me all along, Brian.
You go ahead and. You open your gift because it's too late. I can't take it back now. So we might as well. I mean, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to hog all the goodwill for me. But thank you for the DVD. And
all right, let's see. Oh, this is a nice box, Brian. And you wrapped it in purple wrapping paper as a tribute to Prince. I like that.
Sure did. Huh.
What's this,
Nate? It's a new podcast for us. I thought we could share it. We get to host it.
Wow, a new podcast. I don't have any of those, Brian.
And get this, it's not like a political thing. It's not topical. It's strictly wrestling, and it's going to be wrestling. It's
going to
be retro wrestling, and it's going to be the kind of wrestling that I know you love.
Okay. So I don't have to talk about politics, and I don't have to watch any new wrestling?
No. It's all old wrestling you love. And do you see the name of it there? You see what it's called?
Oh, wow. Keep It 2000.
Yeah, let's
see. I like that.
Let's see Conan try to steal that. That's ours.
I like it, Brian. So what's this about, man?
Every episode, it's you and I reviewing WCW Nitro 2000. We're going to do the whole year, buddy. Nate, you and I, all of WCW Nitro 2000, every episode, all 52 episodes. Merry Christmas.
All the Stings, all the Goldbergs, all the Lugers?
I don't know if they're on every episode. I think most of them exercised the creative contracts and didn't show up. But some of them show up occasionally.
Oh, this is really cool, Brian. It's oh man, WCW 2000. I can't wait.
I kind of can. I honestly was sort of hoping you'd ask for a gift receipt, but if you want to do it, I guess we're gonna do it.
I cannot wait, man. Nitro, the Nitro Girls, maybe the Nitro Grill, DJ Rand. Oh, this is gonna be great.
Well, there you go, guys. From our holiday home to yours. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and we'll be seeing you in the year 2000.
Hoody-hoo!
So, Wei, with some of these double entries, this ring has filled up considerably. Moro Ranallo, Jason Agnew, Dan Lavransky, Mr. St. Laurent, and then Brian Mann and Nate Milton.
I think we have like a U.S. versus Canada thing going on here.
Wow, we really do. Moro's kind of caught. Moro and MSL are kind of right on the border, literally and figuratively.
Yeah. Does MSL stick to his heritage? Or does Moro, resort to his new American overlords?
These are great questions.
Yeah.
It was funny talking to MSL because, I mean, our prime minister is Justin Trudeau, the son of Pierre Elliott Trudeau.
Yes.
So, I mean, if MSL wanted to ever enter the political game, he's already...
There is a precedent set, yes.
I mean, your pedigree precedes you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what about Brian and Nate? I mean, speaking of politics, of course, what a year they've had.
In some ways, this was the best and the worst for them. Yeah. I mean, it was really tough. And believe me, I was one of those people who ahead of time just thought that, I mean, this Donald Trump, this circus, it's got an expiration date. It does, but it's at least 4 years from now.
Mm, yes. Yeah. Review America, of course, I think was one of the standout
breakout show of the year.
Breakout show, certainly,
rookie show of the year.
Certainly most controversial new law program of the year, I have to say.
Some of the message board
as controversial as CW scene might have been. I don't think it matched up at all to some of the criticism.
It was the Will Ospreay ricochet of podcasts.
Yeah, Review America, yes, of course. But Brian and Nate
have a new show.
Brand new show.
They are going to be coming out with a new show called Keep It 2000.
Keep It 2000.
The most famous year in WCW history.
Yeah, I'm
2000.
Looking forward to that.
So our plan is we are going to be launching the first episode of Keep It 2000 this Friday, December the 30th. And they're going to have a semi-regular schedule for Keep It 2000, where they are going to go through the entire year of WCW.
So they can enjoy that misery and hopefully take that off our plates for a little while.
We are going to see how far they can run with this one if they hit a wall on this.
Should we take bets? How long do you think they'll go through with the whole year, or will it be too much? Because I can't go through. I don't know if I can go through a whole year.
The key will be if they can get through the summer of 2000. Mm-hmm. I look at the summer of 2000 is insanity because there is stuff that aired in that summer when they were doing these semi or full on like shoot interviews with guys, and we had storylines where guys wouldn't follow the script or who's going to shoot on the other. Just awful ideas. And then the fall of 2000 is just depressing. It's this thing is dying and it's dull. And the only thing that's keeping your interest is like there's some younger cruiserweights that are just trying to use this platform to better their themselves and their career. But it is so depressing, the fall of 2000. And it's even worse into 2001 because that's when they put so much of a focus on the cruiserweights. They created the cruiserweight tag titles that you were getting these great matches, but this thing was not going to last. Mm. And that year, 2000, to give a long answer to a short question, I think the key will be if they can make it to the summer of 2000.
Wow. I'm excited. I'm very excited.
There's a lot to look forward to or dread from WCW 2000. And those are the two men to review it.
Mm-hmm.
WCW 2000, a new show coming to you, at liveaudiowrestling.com in the year 2017.
Mm-hmm.
WCW's death is almost old enough to vote.
Oh boy.
Which is a perfect tie-in with Review America. And still to come, we have another show that we will be adding.
What?
That we will announce later on the show today.
Okay.
The liveaudiowrestling.com family is growing.
Yeah.
On a worldwide level, is all I will say. But when we talk about the wide world out there, I think our next...
The world of sport, you could say.
The world of sport. Whether you are feeling the... luck of the Irish, or you are, I don't know, but I feel that our next entrant in the Review Away Christmas Rumble is going to have some international flavor for us. Is this the world-famous Jay Hunter?
Yeah, well, I think there's a Jay Hunter that is a director for Kitchen Nightmares.
And never heard of him. Don't care. The only one we care about is you.
Rock and roll.
How are you doing?
I am doing awesome. Thanks so much for having me on Christmas morning and everything.
Myself and Wei, we were thinking, you know, who will join us on Christmas morning? And all the way over in Ireland, no less, OSW Review's own Jay Hunter. Joining us here on Christmas morning, a very Merry Christmas to you, Mr. Hunter.
Hello, and Sean Agnola to you, fellas.
How is Jay Hunter's Christmas going thus far here on Christmas Day? I guess it's a kind of afternoon now for you.
Yeah, oh, it's amazing. I got a NES Classic Mini. It's like a updated version of the 80s video game console, and it's got like Super Mario Brothers, Legend of Zelda, Kirby's Adventure, Metroid, oh, awesome stuff.
Does it come with the orange gun? Is there a compatible gun for this new NES, or is that not as PC as it was back in the 80s when I had the gun?
I think you have to get a real gun with this if it's really the 80s, you know?
That's the best one. You could actually shoot the dog in Duck Hunt, which I thought was always a glitch in the game, that you couldn't shoot that dog that would mock you and laugh at you when you didn't hit the duck. Did you play this way?
No, I was a Super Nintendo guy.
Oh, what a dork. Well, Jay,
I actually never had one of these as a kid as well, so this is really the right time to start playing, I think. 2016.
Didn't the UK have the Famicom, or was that like a Japanese thing?
Yeah, we had the Famicom as well. We called it Super Nintendo, but it had the chassis of the Japanese version, and it's so much prettier. It has colors, as opposed to like gray and purple, which is the American one.
Have you seen the new Mario Brothers game that they've now put? It's now an app you can get on your iPhone, but it's like $15 to get this game on your phone.
No, you can get the 6 levels.
Yeah,
for
you can
free.
Get the shit version, like everyone, like every game. But if you really want to play it, you've got to pump all this money into it. Like $15, that's crazy.
And it's more of an app it. Though.
Yeah, it's worth it for a Mario game. Don't you think? Jay, I this is appropriate, I guess, to discuss with you, because don't you host like a video game show now too?
Oh shit. I mean, yes, that's true. Yeah, I do a video game music show called Super OSW 64. It just came about when I saw an ad for Pixels with Adam Sandler, and it's just like, this is what regular people think about video games. Bleeps and Bloops and Pac-Man going waka waka. Oh my god, that was like 1979 or something. So I just thought I'd give people, this is music, you know, there's orchestras, there's bands, whatever. So this is what gaming is now, you know?
What does the OSW team consist of? Because you guys have, hands down, the best website out there. Oh, it's incredible.
Second best.
Like, your graphics, your video. I mean, it's quite the package that you guys have. I just go to it and it's like a treat for my eyes just to look at this website.
It's like a video game come to life.
It is. And it doesn't cost me $15 to go to this website either, which is a nice plus. I can just enjoy it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, Calzo actually does our website because I know nothing about how to create websites. But, like everything on the show, apart from like the Steve's voices, is just done by me. So I put it all together and it's all bright and colorful. A bit of Mario in there, actually. Just bright and colorful. Hopefully people enjoy it and you can find everything okay.
Tell us a bit about the Golden Nogger Awards and when are they going to be coming out?
I didn't know if I could, say the N word on this show. It came.
Nogger.
That's actually a bar. It's a legitimate bar from Sweden.
It's N-O.
Yes. And if anyone goes to Europe and they look for a feast bar, it's called a Nogger there. And it's amazing. It was has the same wrapper as Virgil. So we got a kick out of it. So he just started calling our awards and our fans Noggers and that. So yeah, our award show will be coming next week. We wrapped it up a couple of days ago and went awesome. So you'll have to find out who can get a bite of the Golden Noggers.
So Jay, you know, we've known you for a long time. I don't think we've ever had you on one of our shows in the past?
They were on with Brian and Nate.
Oh, you were? Okay, right, cool. But I guess we've never had a chance to talk to you. But specifically, what I wanted to talk to you about is, I know that you've been involved in some very, very, very epic battles with YouTube and YouTube guidelines.
Those assholes.
Like, what is the status right now of your very successful OSW review YouTube channel? And talk a little bit about kind of the trials and tribulations you've had.
Pull the curtain back a little, Jay.
All right. Well, it's actually the best it's been in a while because YouTube have kind of updated how they deal with these things. Like, some other sites, they'll just pull you and then that's it. But at least YouTube, there's a process and you can hassle them. But the cool thing is that, well, it was actually kind of scary, but we did talk to WWE's lawyers and they were like, actually, well, we just showed them, here's what we do and here's the amount of footage we use and blah, blah, blah. And they're like, okay. And, but the problem is they don't talk to YouTube. So we kind of have to hassle YouTube separately. Mm. And so it's, kind of left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing, but you know, sure, it's still the third biggest platform or website in the world. So, you know, you kind of got to jump through hoops to get it, you know?
Because in the end, I mean, it's all, especially now with the network, I mean, something we've come to realize with our reviews is that, like, this is great promotion. In our opinion, we're giving people a reason to go back to the network to watch these older shows. And I feel like that's probably what your podcast is, you know, doing as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the coolest thing is, because watching, there's so much WWE right now, but like when people watch the shows and something from our show comes on, like Kane has a match and he just bumps on his knees, people will tweet me, oh my God, Kane bumped on his knees. That kind of thing. So that's kind of the funnest part of it. But it's awesome that it got people into watching more historical footage. Because it's all characters and storylines. And I think that's way better than great wrestling, you know?
So you actually had meetings with people from the WWE and the response was just like, okay, you guys go ahead. Cool. No problem.
It was like, no, no, no. Okay. Which is like, whoa. Okay. All right. Let's do it.
Maybe when the awards come out, they might have some issues depending on what awards are issued to any of their WWE trademark talent.
Oh, well, I probably can't use the C word, but Stephanie is the C word of the year. She's the current holder, so.
That is an actual name of an award you have?
Yes, without the blanks.
Well, it means far different, I suppose, over there than it does here.
Yeah, it's a lot more blasé, you know?
I feel the WWE's legal team on this side of the world might be more stringent for someone like us, whereas over in the UK and Ireland, maybe a little more liberal nature if they are so inclined to give you guys a pass on that one, maybe.
It's really weird. Like, you, WWE are a big company, but they're still kind of small, so they're in this gray zone where they don't appreciate the exposure you give them, but they're not big enough to say, yeah, he can do it. Because sometimes, like, we get a note from Warner Brothers, and we just tell them this is what we're doing, and they're like, yeah, that's grand, you know. But WWE or maybe a third of that size. Maybe someone from WWE should head up some kind of small businesses and, you know, get the ear of the president, perhaps.
Is there a big difference between dealing with YouTube and dealing with Vimeo? We don't do anything on Vimeo, so I would have no reference point about how lax or restrictive they are. But it seems like theirs is a much more open video service in terms of what you're doing and similar.
Oh, yeah. Vimeo are the best, really. They only respond if someone actually tells them, hey, there's something wrong here. And so we've had no problems with them, so they're fantastic.
It's very interesting to look at this side of things. What does, as you look ahead with the WWE doing this UK tournament in a couple of weeks, do you think this is going to be a successful venture for the WWE going this route? I mean, they're going to be battling to me. They're just producing as much content as possible and trying to find out, are there different enough audiences that have an appetite for all of this product that we're putting out?
It's crazy, because last week we had, you know, 3 hours of Raw, 2 hours of SmackDown, hour 205, you had NXT, Tribute to the Troops, then they announced the UK tournament, and then you had Roadblock, and there's some pre-shows in there. So what is happening? Like, you're just kind of squeeze out your hardcore fans, because hardcore fans want to watch everything, you know, and you're just saying, eh, you know, pick and choose. What if you tell people to pick and choose, they'll just think that it's okay to miss shows and they'll end up missing more and more. So I think they're kind of shooting themselves in the foot with the quantity over quality. But, you know, it's probably like the CWC. At the end, you'll probably just get, you know, Tyler Bate or Trent Steven or something in the show. You know, they'll just come on Raw or SmackDown or whatever, and that's what it'll be afterwards. So it's just something they can say to their investors, hey, we got a new show. Like, I don't even know why they're doing it, because World of Sport, like, that was big in the 70s and 80s, and, like, it'll have three, like, good shows, or maybe, like, a month of good ratings, and then it's gonna tank, and then it'll be, like, celebrity wrestling with D'Lo Brown all over again. So,
right.
Like, I don't know, like, WWE have the entire market, you know? So I don't know why they're so tetchy about really small organizations doing something else. Like, because it's no threat to their kingdom, you know?
So you don't think, if ITV were to pick this up with the World of Sport relaunch, that you don't think it's going to have legs, that it would really sustain itself long term?
Like, I would love it to, but I think on mainstream TV, it'll just be a fad.
Yeah, that's going to be a very interesting one to watch. But as we wind this down, Jay, what are your plans for Christmas, New Year's? What is happening? Does the OSW crew get together on New Year's?
Oh, we actually got together for Jars a couple of days ago, so we're kind of reeling from that. Well, what I really want to get to is the Nintendo Classic Mini. Oh, my God. I just want to give me that. But 2017 is going to be a huge friggin' year. Like, 2016, I know, like, there's been a lot of deaths and stuff like that. Most people seem to have a terrible 2016, and kind of my first half was just working really hard and not getting much OSW out. So I was able to open up NoggerU, our Patreon, and so I could actually work full-time doing OSW. So that's, like, the biggest change. So I'm really looking forward to, like, getting as much content out in 2017, WWE style, yeah. And,
fantastic.
We're doing our first WrestleMania. Like, I've never been to a WrestleMania. Actually, you guys were at X8 in Toronto, right?
We were, yes. We didn't know each other at the time, but we both did go to that show.
And, like, how, like, cause that is, whenever anyone ever asks me, what match would you have loved to seen live? It's Rock and Hogan at X8. So, like, how was that live?
That to me is still, it's either number one or number two of the most heated matches I've ever attended live. I mean, just the amount of people in that stadium that were into that match, it was unreal. Like, when I say, like, the chairs around me were, like, shaking from people, like, that's not an exaggeration. It was an incredibly heated match to be at live. So that's probably near the top of my list for most heated of a match that I've attended live.
Is that, like, after Kane and Kurt Angle?
A very close second. You didn't ask me for a top five, but yeah, that was right up there, along with Billy and Chuck were in that mixed tag match, or the four-way tag, yes, for the tag titles. I mean, let's be honest, WrestleMania 18, not exactly a very memorable Mania beyond that Rock Hogan match.
Yeah, absolutely. Something I'm looking forward to is actually getting a proper Brock Lesnar match as well. Like, you know, in the 90s and the 80s, you know, everyone kind of placates to Hogan, like at World War III, 95, he changes the finish to the match in ring, you know. It's weird because you wouldn't expect people to have that kind of power ever since, you know, WWE won the war. So to see Brock Lesnar come out, you know, having failed his wellness test and failed his steroids test and now he's banned for 1 year and just walk into SummerSlam, what's going on? It's amazing.
It's the power of Brock Lesnar. I mean, rules don't apply. But Jay, we will wind things down, but go check out OSWReview.com, and maybe we will see you at WrestleMania.
Oh,
and
I love whatever, it, Ross.
If we can, we will definitely see you down in Orlando. But have a Merry Christmas, Jay, and all continued success. You guys do a great job at OSW Review. I encourage everyone to go check it out if they haven't already.
Thank you so much. So FightNetwork.com, LiveAudioWrestling.com, and remember, a winner is you.
Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. I hope you're enjoying it. If we don't sound too enthusiastic, it's because we've been to Bonenkai's, haven't we, WH?
Yes, I've been to too many recently.
Yeah. Bonenkai, if you don't know, and there's no reason for you to, literally means forget year party.
Yeah, forget the year party.
So the idea is that you get so blazingly drunk that you forget all the bad shit that happened over the year. And believe me, with the bad shit that happened in 2016, you're going to have to get tanked.
Yeah.
So that is it. And it's very difficult to do if you don't drink like me to get that tanked.
Well, I don't like to get tanked when I go to drinking parties. I tend to have like two. I'm fine. I don't feel the need to take advantage of the all you can drink aspect of Bonenkai's.
Yeah, this is the season of vomit in the streets and people passed out drunk on the floors of trains and things. It's not.
Yeah. I don't call it the Christmas season here. I call it the piss and puke season.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So yeah.
So, but 2016 has been a great year for wrestling, and in 2017, geez, who knows what could possibly happen? What, do you have any big prediction for Japanese wrestling in 2017?
No, I think it's so up in the air.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't have predicted, like, a lot of the things that happened this year. I always think that Japanese pro wrestling is, like, in such a, I don't know, it's like, on one hand, it's in a state of constant change. Like, people leave. Like, people come in, people become stars, people stop being stars, titles change, you know. But at the same time, it's like there's also this, like, massive consistency in what's going on in different companies. So I really don't know what's going to happen next year. Like, years before, like, I think we could safely say, like, okay, Okada's going to do this. This guy in DDT is going to become the new star. This person in All Japan's going to get the championship and have a great run with it. This might happen or this might happen. And then there'd be tons of things that we never thought could happen, you know. This year, I don't know. Like, 2016 has been a good year, but it's also been like a weird year in the sense of like some of the booking decisions that go on in some of these companies is just – like, okay, I didn't see that coming, but that makes sense. I don't know. It's hard for me to articulate, like, the feeling I have about 2016 in wrestling because, like, it's been enjoyable. But at the same time, like, I just wish, in particular New Japan, I just wish they would be more logical in how they booked. So 2017, I think it's going to be a lot of great wrestling in the ring, but probably a lot of frustrating booking at the same time.
That is, you're describing every year in professional wrestling.
Yes, true.
I think like some of the more interesting things, perhaps a little bit easier to predict or a little bit easier to speculate at this point at like business stuff. You know, I think it's going to be interesting to see what comes out of Noah under new ownership over the course of 2017. One thing that's definitely intriguing is where our big tournaments are going to be this year, with certain figures gone. You know, like Liger saying he won't be in the best of the Super Juniors this year. Tenzan won't be in the G1. And in fact, you know, they've said that the G1's going to take a completely new format in 2017. So goodness knows what that's going to entail. And then just some, I think one thing we're going to get is lots more weird New Japan crossovers in other media. This has been like happening over the course of 2016 because they've done this talent deal, with a big talent company called Amuse. But it's just been weird. And like recently New Japan people have popped up in video games. They're in the new Yakuza game by Sega. And Okada is in the new Tekken, like as an alternate costume for one of the characters. It's like the Rainmaker, like King has a Rainmaker character as well. So I think we're going to see more weird, crossovers between, wrestling and TV and wrestling and video games and wrestling and music, maybe, you know, and we're going to see some weird stuff. So, hold on tight for that, I think. That's my prediction.
Okay.
All right. So we'll send you back to your regularly scheduled, I don't know, menage of other guests to talk about stuff. Have a good one.
Happy holidays.
So we went to Ireland and then we went to Japan. From OSW Review to Japanese Audio Wrestling.
Man, I'm jet-lagged. That's a lot of travel. I've done enough traveling this year.
Yeah, you racked up a lot of miles this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You hit, you went to Japan.
Yes.
You went to China.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? You went to exotic Montreal a few times.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful Montreal. Yes, you're right. So I guess we heard from the UK. We heard from Japan.
Ireland.
Sorry, does that not count? I'm terrible. I'm sorry.
UK and Ireland.
See, I don't know shit about the UK. I don't know anything about the UK. But, you know, especially now because wrestling has become such a popular and important thing over there. How could I learn more? I wish I could get my UK wrestling knowledge up a little bit.
Well, it's something that we have been looking at for the site, and then it's just worked out so well with the addition of a new show.
Oh, this is what the new show is? Is the announcement?
I know you're stunned by this, but I want to let you know, because Wei maybe is not aware of this, that we are going to be joined in the new year with a UK-centric podcast here on liveaudiowrestling.com.
Wow, okay. So that means Ireland won't be included, right?
Well, the northern part, I believe. If my geography serves me right. And I know they will let me know if I...
Okay, let's talk about this show. What is this? It's very exciting.
Well, you will never guess what it's going to be called. British Audio Wrestling.
What? British, that's great. That's perfect.
If nothing else, we love our shows that tell you exactly what it's about.
Oh, awesome. Well, welcome to the Live Audio Wrestling family. British Audio Wrestling.
It's like what you would tag this show with. You would type in British Audio Wrestling.
Well, why do you think the law is so popular? Come on. It's because of the SEO, is it not? The search engine optimization.
It's gotta be. I mean, when you think of it, Live Audio Wrestling. I've just always heard that name forever, and it wasn't until I remember chatting with one Ed the Sock,
mm-hmm.
who brought up, what is that? Is it like wrestling on the radio? And I was like, well, I guess when you listen to each word and you give each word credence, you could come to that conclusion that this is live audio wrestling. It's audio wrestling. Our words are having a match.
I'm more amused that you had this conversation with the talking sock.
It was in character too, where I got him to do a liner.
Okay.
And the liner was, I mean, live audio wrestling. No, that's a bad sock.
That's the point. I want to hear more about British audio wrestling.
Well, the people that will be bringing us this brand new show.
It won't be us, okay? No. The people who can't tell you Northern about Ireland in the UK, you don't want to hear it from us.
This will be hosted by Martin Bushby and Ollie Court, who does recaps and reviews at voicesofwrestling.com. Those two are going to be doing shows monthly on the site, very similar to the schedule we have with Japanese Audio Wrestling. They're going to be dropping a show fairly soon with kind of just an overview of the entire scene, because to me, the UK to me is one of the most fascinating scenes to watch because of all the different promotions that are having a lot of success and I think a lot of interest on this side of the ocean because of the upcoming WWE tournament that's happening January 14th and 15th, which they will be reviewing after the fact as well.
Great. Awesome.
So lots of coverage coming there from Martin and Ollie.
Welcome. Our new British babies.
British Audio Wrestling.
Yes.
They're 5 hours ahead of everybody.
Yeah.
Not everybody. Just us. All right. That's our news.
Wonderful. Wonderfully delivered. Very politically correct.
From the Empire at WrestlingObserver.com, co-host of Wrestling Observer Live, he is Mike Sempervive joining us here on the Review Away Christmas Show. Merry Christmas to you, Mike.
Merry Christmas to both of you gentlemen. A happy Hanukkah, a happy Kwanzaa, a happy Festivus, all of those sorts of things. And I hope you're not disappointed when you unwrapped this package and did not get Big Vinny V.
No. We wanted to get Mike on the show because we've never had a chance to meet you or get you on the show. So, Mike, you are the Hatchimal of gifts this year.
Good. So I'll take that as being better than the PS4, I guess.
Now you're a father, Mike. Have you heard of the Hatchimal? And if not, what are the big Christmas gifts this year?
I have heard of this, but luckily my son Avery, who may or may not have been possibly named after Sean Avery, the greatest Ranger of all time and loved by the entire city of Toronto.
Oh, you're kidding.
He's a little too old for that, which is good. He is completely dead set on electronics to the point now where we've gone from Hatchimals and things like that to kind of looking at drones and those sorts of things that he really wants. So thankfully I'm out of that one stage, but into a far more expensive one.
Oh, maybe a Vanguard for your son there.
That's the, you know what? If I would have thought about this a little bit better, I could have marketed my son in quite the way that Maxwell has.
Yes.
Either that or Brian's daughter Paisley, Brian Alvarez's daughter, who I believe is being set up for a future match with Maxwell.
Wow. Yes. That would be, I really feel Maxwell is seriously going to get votes for Rookie of the Year this year.
He might, actually. He's got a better win-loss percentage than some other people this year. So I could see that, either that or Gimmick of the Year possibly as well, too. Maybe splitting that with Daddy, though.
What do you make of the year 2016 for TNA? Because forget a movie. You could do an entire episodic series on TNA's year in 2016. I mean, here they end the year where it appears to be at least some stability for the company going into 2017, which definitely was not the case for the majority of this year.
It was not, and it's got to be the wildest story of the year. I mean, I think WWE's kind of the bookending of the global takeover with kind of taking the guys from New Japan or those contracts expiring and now the deal with the UK. That's probably the bigger story. Hulk Hogan is probably a bigger story that has got something to do with wrestling. But not exactly involved directly with wrestling, but the Corgan, Dixie Carter, TNA, Aero Lux, all of the nonsense that went along with that. What an amazing year. And the fact that this company is still standing after we had so many death watches as the year went on, it's amazing. It is truly Lazarus. It's just an amazing scenario. And for that thing to kind of end up the way it did with going into court, with Corgan seeking the injunction and then and talking about it, and we kind of got a little bit more pulled back on TNA's financial situation. It was just it was just amazing. It was just amazing. I know in many lines of business, we hear about this, you know, they defaulted to this bank or to that bank, but to see it happen with wrestling and to see it happen where they weren't paying American Express, they're, you know, this happened and that happened, and then they still stand at the end of the year. It just, it blows me away. It was really the craziest damn story of the year.
Well, I know it was, personally surreal and also kind of exciting for me to every time I would, you know, check my Twitter and I would see a headline involving Anthem, the company that I'm employed by, and Billy Corgan, over TNA. It's just been incredibly surreal just being exposed to that and something I didn't expect at the beginning of this year, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's got to be amazing from you guys, you know, point of view, much less sitting here from the outside to watch, you know, the Tennessean, you know, the court reporter for there, you know, tweeting out things from court. It was just like, it blew me away because Billy Corgan, you know, I'm 40 years old, so kind of growing up has gotten to high school and everything, Smashing Pumpkins became big. And here's a guy who, you know, loved wrestling. He had the hookup in Chicago with the promotion there doing Resistance, I believe was the name of it, doing it there. And you always knew he loved wrestling. And then to see him get involved, it was like, well, okay, you know, let's see what happens here. And I took it for granted that, okay, well, at some point, Billy Corgan's going to take over this company. And then there were all these twists and turns and things that you didn't know about kind of came to light. And it was just a really a wild story. And, you know, it's good. There were a couple times during the year where I kind of threw my hands up and just said, be done with the whole thing. But I'm glad it stuck around, not for any, you know, reason with Matt Hardy or deletion or any of that sort of fun stuff that happened, but just for the fact that there's another place around that can employ wrestlers and employ people, because I never wanted TNA to go away. I just want it to be fixed. I want cohesive programming. I want a good show to watch. That's all I can really ask for as a fan watching. So hopefully when things are now kind of settling here, maybe they're settled. Well, I guess we'll find out. But as things settle down a little bit, hopefully we've got a little bit of a reboot to TNA and some fresh things going forward.
Yeah, and I think that's now we move on to what I think is, I won't say more difficult because, you know, staying in business was certainly touch and go all year, but for TNA to become viable, that's a major leap forward they need to do at this point where you mentioned just the global expansion of the WWE. And this isn't 2005 when TNA had this section of the wrestling world to themselves where they could go after this talent that WWE maybe was not as interested in. They have the limitations of pop TV and now it's trying to grow this. Can they get back to touring? Can they make pay-per-view anything that's viable for them? Those are kind of the next set of questions, and it's going to be a bigger task for TNA in 2017.
Oh my God, it's so hard. I don't know, you know, as far as Anthem or any, as far as what is going to be provided for them, but it is such a difficult situation to be in now where you have so many groups out there that are vying for your money directly, where they're, give us $4.99 and we will give you the stream to our entire library, whether it be Stardom or Chikara or Flow, you know, Sports getting involved now with those groups. Everybody's got a streaming service. I believe DDT is going to be starting one out of Japan at the beginning of the year. It's just either them or Big Japan, one of the two is. It's just,
yeah, DDT.
Everybody's got one, and they're all striving for your dollars. And TNA had a chance back in the day, 10 years ago, when all this wasn't going on, to try to get people and get those viewers converted over to pay-per-view buyers. They legendarily did not. And now I don't know how much support and how much guerrilla activity can be done to market TNA and to rebrand it and to refocus it and to get it back into people's hands and into the minds of the wrestling fan who, whether they liked TNA or not, there's just so much other stuff that has invaded their space that it is very difficult to me for TNA to try to force itself back in. And that's going to be the biggest thing, is really just getting back the trust of a regular viewer, getting them regularly watching, making sure they're there, and then somehow converting that into dollars, because that's where they've missed out for so long. It's great to have 1 million viewers. It's great to have 2 million viewers. But if you can only get 30,000 of those to pay for your pay-per-view, or 4,000 of those to pay for your pay-per-view every month, I don't know. And they sacrificed all of that business to go in a different direction. So How you rebuild it, I don't know. They're in good hands. At least they got a company that knows what it's doing with sports and with media. So that's a plus right there.
Before we let you go here, Mike, I know someone that certainly draws upon history. When you think of pro wrestling and Christmas, what comes to mind for you yourself? Does it begin and end with Reunion Arena 1982? Or are there any certain past historical events tied in with the Christmas holiday that come to mind?
Honestly, for me, it's that one.
Yeah.
It really is. Again, because of my age, and we, you know, in my house, even if there was anything around, and it usually was, and I grew up in the Baltimore, Washington area, so around Christmas, every once in a while, I think the Capitol Center would have a show in Landover, Maryland, outside of D.C., but I don't think Baltimore did, and even if they did, we weren't going to those shows. My mom was never going to let us go to those shows, but, you know, reading in magazines and kind of experience thing, Thanksgiving was always, of course, Starrcade, and waiting around for that, and then Christmas, it was Reunion Arena, and that's, I know that other stuff has taken place, and there's been stuff back in the day, and Dave Meltzer can write a ton on great shows that took place Christmas night after everybody opened their presents, but to me, it kind of ends with Kerry Von Erich getting the door slammed on his head, because that was the end of Gary Hart in World Class, and kind of setting all of that up, and it set World Class onto to epic heights for a while there. So that's got to be the one for me. Trying to think anything from my time that stands out more, and I don't think there is. I think it really has to go to the Freebirds and Von Erich's feud, basically starting on that day.
Maybe a close number two would be Alberto Del Rio running over Santa Claus on Christmas Eve.
Possibly, and then him explaining it away and having John Cena challenge him to a fight in the most comedic way possible.
You can catch Mike Monday through Fridays with Brian Alvarez, host of Wrestling Observer Live, that you can hear on the Sports Byline Network, WrestlingObserver.com. We really appreciate you making a few minutes for us today, Mike. Have a great holiday season and a great rest of your Christmas day.
I appreciate it, gentlemen. Thank you.
Hello, ho, ho,
ho, ho, ray.
Oh my goodness. Merry Christmas. Joy to the world. It's Braden Harrington. Oh, and Bartender Dave.
Yes, the one and only.
Oh, just what I needed on Christmas morning, a nice drink.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, the kids are going crazy. It's not even funny.
Oh my goodness. I'm in my, my Justin Bieber jogger pants and my, not actually Justin Bieber. I look like Justin Bieber. I think I do. And, yeah. And my Christmas morning robe.
Yes. Oh, fantastic. I'm wearing my Corbin shirt, of course.
Oh, you piece of garbage. I'm in a
come on,
shirt.
Man. I called it way back on January 21st this year. I said he was destined for greatness and you all scoffed at me. You all rolled your eyes, but I stood strong. And what happened last week, Braden?
I don't know. I didn't.
SmackDown! Come on, man. He took his rightful place in the title picture.
Oh, but this is worse.
I got my kids a carton of smokes and a fifth of tequila.
Smoke up, Johnny. what did you get your kids for Christmas?
I got them NXT and WWE championship titles, Rusev shirt, Corbin dolls, posters, shirts, commemorative plaques, toothbrushes.
Wait and a second. You didn't get your kids the crash test set?
Oh, the crash
shark cage.
Oh, definitely. My God, we made that awesome.
Oh, my goodness.
It's you and I. Everybody wants it. Biggest seller.
Everyone wants the crash. I still want my Punjabi prison playset. That's what I want, man. Didn't get that for Christmas, but whatever. So it's Christmas morning, and it's John and Way's Christmas spectacular. I think we are the curtain jerkers.
Yeah, I love it. But Why not? Top guys first.
Top guys in, man.
Yeah, baby.
I mean, I don't know what else we're supposed to say on this thing, but it's cool that they let us come on. Because look, you have only been on What's Next, and then you graduated and you went to Review a Raw, and now you're on this show, Dave.
Yeah, I know. I love it. I love it. I listened last year, the year before, and now I'm on it. I can't believe it. It's been a year. It's been an amazing year, and I thank everybody for everything. This is just amazing.
Oh, my goodness. I love all our listeners, and I love John Away for actually giving us time to be on the show. We're still wasting time right now talking.
I know. The best Christmas present ever.
Okay, let's do something wrestling-related, since this is a wrestling podcast. Dave, you know, looking back this year in wrestling, what was some of your favorite stuff or not so favorite stuff?
NXT Toronto, of course.
Yes,
Takeover
definitely.
Toronto. Without a doubt.
Biased,
the best
yes.
thing of the whole year.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. That and getting to meet you in person, that was pretty good.
This is true. That's a big deal, Dave.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I have to agree. I really love Takeover Toronto, and I like Takeover Dallas as well. But AJ Styles and Nakamura was great as well. But we'll see, because the Best Of show is not out yet, but it's coming. But I thought I'd get your two cents. And it's Christmas time now, and you know I gotta go and I gotta do Christmas things. I don't know what else to do, man. I feel the pressure. We're not the biggest guests on this show.
No, definitely not. But, you know. Hooray!
Hooray! All right. Spread holiday cheer. Be safe, everybody. And Amen. Go to Bryden's for your drinks.
I'm there, baby.
All right. Hey, Dave. Someone puked on me in my Uber last night. I got to go dry clean it for Christmas. So.
Oh, God. Well, if you need any help, I'll come over.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
All right.
That was terrible.
Way, you could not have the review away Christmas party without some drinks, courtesy of Bartender Dave.
Oh, yes.
Along with Braden and Mike Sempervivi joining us from Wrestling Observer Live. What a group we have in the Battle Royal.
Yeah, what is the link between those three?
They're all males. They all talk about wrestling. All very happy individuals. All nice people.
You don't know that.
They appeared.
You don't know if they're happy. We all ebb and flow in terms of happiness.
You know, that might have been the first time I've ever spoken to Mike.
Oh, likewise.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would like to chat with him more.
Mm-hmm.
Braden, on the other hand. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I talked to him way too much.
Braden is what a growth pattern he has gone through. I mean, just ascending the law ranks as it is way.
I know.
And Bartender Dave, Live Audio Wrestling Rookie of the Year.
I would say so. Who else is there?
Well, there's probably nobody, but even in a crowded field, I would say Bartender Dave, he's really stepped up this year. I think he's got a bit of a following now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he has completely branded himself now, Bartender Dave.
Yeah.
That is all we know. I do know his last name, but I would never refer to him as that.
I think he's legally changing his first name to Bartender, last name Dave.
He should.
His kids are now last name Dave.
I would say in the world of wrestling radio shows, he has a chance to be the second most popular Dave of all time.
Who's the first?
Who's the first?
Oh, wrestling radio shows. Gotcha.
Yes.
Yes, of course.
Well, this is going to be a quick one, Way, because, you know, sometimes in the Royal Rumble, they will alter the times because they gotta get going.
Nobody wants to hear us talk this much anyway.
Well, it's not even up to us because the clock is ticking. Well, Way, it would not be a review away Christmas morning celebration without Jimmy Corderas, who joins us here right in the morning, Christmas morning. Merry Christmas to you, Jimmy.
Merry Christmas, guys. You know, how can I not come by on Christmas morning and visit you guys?
We've got the Christmas tree up, the first Christmas tree that Way Ting has ever had.
Second.
Second?
Yeah, second.
Well.
No, you haven't been paying attention.
No, I just know your aversion to Christmas trees, but.
Wait a minute. I don't know about this.
Way is not a big Christmas, celebrator. It took this show for Way to truly embrace Christmas.
I don't know about that, but, traditionally my family doesn't necessarily celebrate Christmas, but the one time we did get a Christmas tree, I was probably like 11, and we kept our tree up like, until like March. We're just too lazy. Like, that's really it. It's not because we're from Hong Kong or anything. It's just like we're just lazy people, so we don't really.
Like, have you? You have to inject the race part into that.
Well, that's a big. I mean, that's part of it.
Was this a real tree or a fake tree?
Real tree.
Real tree March?
Yeah, pine needles everywhere.
That's a fire hazard, if nothing else.
Yes, we've had this exact conversation like 3 times.
But after X amount of months, we know that we can reset our conversations and start them over again.
Why not? We'll have it again in another 3 months, I'm sure.
Jimmy, how are you celebrating Christmas later on today? Do you have any plans?
Plenty of plans. Lots of food. This is the time of year where diets are out the window. And I just tend to eat. I have actually discovered that I have a great craving for duck.
For duck?
Ooh. Yeah, I had never eaten duck until recently.
I've had duck before. Very underrated.
Oh, my goodness.
I love duck.
Yeah, and the best part about the after duck is you keep all the drippings. Parts. The drippings. And you save the duck fat.
Ooh.
And you cook later with duck fat. Yeah, I mean, maybe not the healthiest thing to eat every day, but man, it's a good
Christmas. You're allowed.
Yeah, exactly.
I've had I had duck wings recently.
Duck wings.
You know how like chicken wings, but instead with like the wings of a duck.
And how
delicious?
Where did you have these?
It was from like a Chinese place.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
that's incredible.
Amazing.
I'm getting hungry already here. Mm-hmm. Duck wings.
Yeah.
I would check that out. Jimmy, did you ever have to work on Christmas during your many years? I know, you know, the WWE typically gives everybody that off, but were there any holidays when you would have to work either? Because that's a big time. That's their big tour, at least in the U.S., is coming out of Christmas. All that holiday week of shows, typically in the Northeast.
Yeah, and in the early years, it was actually pretty good because Christmas Day was off, and traditionally the Boxing Day, because we're in Canada, folks, Boxing Day show would be a matinee at Maple Leaf Gardens, which was nice and easy for me because the first day of the tour back was in the hometown, so you know I would drive to the show. But then later on, when that no longer became a tradition, you know, and being on the crew would always have to fly out the evening before. So there'd be times where I'd have to fly out for the 26th on the evening of the 25th. So it'd be an early Christmas dinner and then to the airport.
Wow. That's probably the aspect you don't miss too much is the constant just airplane life that was required.
It's weird because as much as as taxing as it was and as much of a pain in the butt as it was to travel all that time, it's almost like you're on autopilot. When you do it for a certain amount, so many years, it's
hopefully
kind of,
the actual pilot isn't on autopilot.
Yeah, exactly. But you get to the airport, it's almost like
it's like a day at the office.
Yeah, brainless. You're walking through the airport. Yeah. You're almost like with your eyes closed and you're getting on the plane and you learn how to position yourself, whether you're on the aisle or the window, to how to fall asleep properly.
It would be like taking the subway for a typical person.
Yeah, exactly. Same thing. Except there's no customs going through subway.
Right.
Yeah.
We've been asking a lot of our Christmas guests, you know, looking back at this past year of like one or two big stories that jump out to you. I mean, certainly a lot occurred this past year in the WWE, just all over the place. This was quite the year in professional wrestling as you kind of rack your brain of like some of those big stories of 2016. What comes to mind for Jimmy Corderas?
I mean, like there's the obvious stuff like the Goldberg surprise victory over Brock Lesnar and the attendance record, which people can debate over at WrestleMania this year. But for the big story is the evolution of the NXT brand becoming basically a third brand and to me doesn't feel like a developmental territory anymore. It doesn't feel like the AAA franchise for the WWE. They've become their own entity and they've got talent that is widely recognized by the hardcore wrestling fans that you know, years ago you would say, we'll never see so-and-so. We'll never see Samoa Joe in the WWE or we'll never see Shinsuke Nakamura in the WWE. Or Bobby Roode or Eric Young, but look, we got them. And sooner or later, they're going to make the eventual leap to the main roster. But right now, they're holding down the fort at NXT, and I love that product right now.
It's funny. Recently, in an issue of The Observer, Dave Meltzer was writing this thing, and this was like the most wild line if you followed WWF, that they've told some talent now that they are currently not hiring anybody unless they're under 205 pounds, which is just like what a strange change in philosophy now, where they're focused on these lighter wrestlers, where for the longest time it was like if you were even sniffing the low 200s, you could forget getting into that system. It's just such a change of philosophy when it comes to their hiring, and also the ability for this talent in NXT to not just get over there, but then you come to the main roster and you're seeing a lot of successes where in 2015, I mean, we saw some stumbles along the way of guys coming up.
Yeah, biggest example is the man that television forgot, Neville. I mean, there's, you know.
The man that television forgot.
I mean, you know, it is, you know, Apollo Crews is another one who's a very talented individual, but just hasn't clicked. And I think a lot of it has to do with they're being thrust there without any introduction, with the assumption that the crowd that follows them at NXT will follow them on the main product. And you got to remember that at least half the audience does not know who these people are.
Why is the clock going?
What?
The countdown clock's about to start, and we're still in the middle of our conversation with Jimmy. This is weird. We've never had this. We've been doing this show a few years. It's usually timed out perfectly with our guests coming and going, but I guess we should just see what's going to happen here. Look who has shown up here, right as we're chatting with Jimmy Corderas.
I'm in shock.
Is it a bird? Is it a plane? Is it a Kyle? No, it's Arda Ocal. Arda, how did you find out about the Review Away Christmas show? A first-time guest on the Christmas show. You've been on our wish list for years.
I've actually been trying to get on the show for years, and I've been kayfabed many times, and it makes me sad. So finally, my agent moved mountains and got me on the Review Away Christmas show, and I couldn't be happier about it.
Well, a little behind-the-scenes story was last year, I tried to, because no one in Canada has heard from Arda Ocal in years, and I tried to reach out to him at the last email address I had, and some guy, K.E., responded to me like I was just out of my mind asking who this Arda fellow is. And it ended there, and it was very frustrating. I mean, our good pal Arda Ocal, I want to just first of all make sure he was doing okay. I heard he went to the U.S. a few years back. Arda, you are still down in the States.
Yep.
You're now hosting a hockey show. I mean, you've really gone big time on us on the MSG Network.
Wait a minute. This isn't live audio hockey.
Listen, we get that enough from MMA fans. We don't need it from the hockey purists as well.
Do you know there's still people? This is surprising to me. Do you know that there's still wrestling fans in Canada that don't know that Arda is Kyle? Like, there's people that have actually messaged me saying, like, where have you gone the last couple of years? And they didn't put two and two together. It's like, it's not like I wore glasses and I was like Clark Kent to Superman or something like that. I was like the exact same look. Maybe a blazer. That's it.
Hey, Arda, did you see this news? There's an opening.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I'm ready. Put my resume in, kid.
Arda, when was the last time you got to catch up live and in living color with one Jimmy Corderas here? Has it been a while?
Jimbo, when was the last time I saw you, man?
Oh, my goodness.
We had that big reunion with the Smash people.
That's right.
The Smash Wrestling crew. We did that. We do that every, like, 6 months or so. We do that at that. What's the place of that restaurant?
Oh,
what's that restaurant called that we always go to?
Mamma Mia's.
Yes.
Not Mamma Mia's. Mamma Martino's. Sorry.
Mamma Martino's. Pollock and Way, you guys are invited the next time we go out. It's like...
Yeah, apparently not to this last one. I would have been available.
No,
I mean, geez.
See, guess who was kayfabed on the last one?
Oh, man. It goes both ways, yeah. Jimmy.
Apparently it does. Probably a few months ago. But I talked to Jimmy probably, I don't know, once every 2-3 weeks on the phone.
Oh, yeah.
That's enough of broing out, you know. That's pretty standard.
Yeah,
I would say.
Yeah, you know, he makes the trips up here every once in a while. Like made one for a soccer game and went back. You know.
Oh, that was. Yeah, like all my, like, it's funny, right? Like all of our trips, like, years ago were all wrestling related, right? Like, hey, let's go to WrestleMania, or hey, let's go to, I don't know, some indie show that has a lot of cool people on it. Now it's all sports. It's like I don't know. It's like we've grown up in a way a little bit, you know?
How much do you still follow wrestling, Arthur?
I have not watched a second since I left WWE. Honestly, I haven't watched a single second of any product at all. The last show that I went to was the Ring of Honor show at Hammerstein, the one that just passed. And that was just to see friends, to be honest with you. And actually, I don't want to say too much, but I was there in support of somebody who is hoping to become their next color commentator now that Steve Corino is leaving and perhaps other people with rumors abound.
Oh, I love it. Cryptic Arda is my favorite Arda.
other people. I basically just went there to show my support for this individual. I don't want to say the name just because I don't want them to get any heat anywhere. So, but that's why I went. And then I just saw a bunch of friends there. And I also saw Mike Johnson of PW Insider.
Yes.
Who had a perch there. And actually, here's a funny story. So I was walking by Central Park, okay? And who should I see randomly in an apartment building but Vladimir the Superfan?
Oh, wow.
Okay? Wow. Unmistakable face. This, like, anybody who's watched wrestling in the 90s knows Vladimir the Superfan, the guy who's always in the front row, especially at Madison Square Garden, right?
Iconic, mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. So I see him, unmistakable, definitely Vladimir. So I know that him and Mike Johnson are buddies. So I text Mike Johnson and I go, did I just see Vladimir the Superfan by Central Park? And Mike Johnson goes, as a matter of fact, you did. He works as a superintendent at a building by Central Park. And maybe I have said too much. Now he's going to get bombarded with autograph requests.
Oh,
so I apologize, Vladimir.
Oh, you're going to have, the Faith No More fan maybe can reunite with Vladimir the Superfan. I mean, those two fans are just synonymous to me with any Coliseum video release.
I think Arda just made Vladimir the most over superintendent in the history of superintendents.
He's big. What is it, the process been like, Arda, just, you know, getting away from wrestling? Because I sometimes, you know, visualize what my life would be like if I didn't watch any of this at all. What has that transition been like for you?
So I'll even admit this. I didn't even watch WrestleMania this year, and I was still with the company. So I was definitely burnt out at the tail end of me working there. Like, I don't know whether it was just seeing the inner workings or whatever it was. I just got burnt out from the product. You know, like, I guess I got more excited from people in the industry and just talking to them as opposed to watching the actual product. But after I left WWE, like, I honestly wasn't even bitter. I wanted to just move on with my life. So what I decided to do was I just took a break from everything. It was good timing, actually, because I just started dating someone, and honestly, I just spent the entire summer with her, and she's a teacher, so she had the summer off, so basically we spent the whole summer together, fell in love kind of thing. And then in the fall I just felt rejuvenated, and I got a new agent, and I just decided, you know, this is my opportunity right now to see if I can find something that will give me some longevity. And then that's when the MSG Hockey Show came up, and so I host this show that's basically a post-game show on Ranger Islanders and Devils games, and I love it. I mean, I grew up loving hockey, too, so it really fits in. And then I do a lot of fringe coverage for ESPN as well, do a lot of esports, which is a very interesting world. There's a lot of parallels, actually, in esports between pro wrestling and esports, which I find very fascinating. So that's a lot of fun as well. But yeah, right now it's basically that freelance life, man. I'm just basically, gigging around, and I'm not gigging the blood gigging, but the actual work gigging. And I'm happy, man. Things are going well, and I'm sticking around in New York. I will say this, the smartest thing I did when I was in WWE, which is the reason I could stick around, because a lot of people ask me this, how can you stay in the States when you're Canadian? I got my green card super fast.
Yeah, that's huge.
So I went to, like, within 4 months of working at WWE, I went to the legal department and I said, how can I get my green card? And I even paid for it myself. Like I said, I will, we all know how volatile WWE is, right? Like, I always heard there that you never retire at WWE. That was like the big thing that I was always told from any department I ever talked to, right?
Mm-hmm.
So realistically, I gave myself maybe 5 years, as an average. I said, if I last here for 5 years, that would be a good career, and then I can move on to other stuff. I lasted a year and 9 months. So it was a good move for me to go to that legal department and say, hey, what can I do to expedite this green card process? And to be fair, they were very nice about it, and I went through the steps and everything, and I paid for it myself, and that was probably the best investment I've made, so that now I can stay here and not have to marry my girlfriend in order to stay in the country.
Always a good strategy.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
The thing, Arta, you mentioned, especially once you left WWE, it's that decompression period afterwards. You don't realize until you have that downtime how much of your life it consumes being there.
Oh, my God. Absolutely. I mean, like, when I look back on it, like the aftermath days, man, like, it was 24/7. Like, every single moment of every single day was, like, consumed with, like, wrestling. And that's what this is the funny thing. That's what I thought I needed to do in order to succeed in wrestling, right? Like, I thought that it had to consume me and surround me at all times. I needed to know the minutiae of every single talent and every single moment and whatever it is. Like, Jimmy, remember we did those, like, look backs? Like, watch every single SummerSlam and every single WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Like, when I look back on it, I'm like, how many extra listens did we actually get from that? You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
you're the numbers guy, so you would know.
I do believe that the Royal Rumble 2007 look back with myself and Way through the roof from my sources.
Through the roof. That was the only one. Exactly. That was the one that really turned the corner. Oh, by the way, Pollock, I should apologize. Every time I talk to you, it should be a blanket apology for ever having to bring up Super Clash.
Dude, I still get feedback from that Super Clash review, and we've talked about it. We do have an open invite for a return for you to do a review away, because it's been a long time. People want to hear it. So the ball is in your court, unless K.E. has any reservations about putting his client into that podcast environment.
Next time I'm in Toronto, it's happening.
All right.
Wait, even if you're there, we'll just triple it up, man.
Let's do it, man.
Awesome. Well, Arta, I want to thank you very much for joining us here on our Review Away Christmas show. Have a great rest of your Christmas day and New Year's, and we will definitely do a Review Away in the coming weeks or months, whenever we can line it up.
I love it. I do want to say one thing. When I was in the wrestling bubble, I told this to you personally, John, but I just want everyone to know this. The guy that I would always compare my interviews to would be John Pollock, because I feel like you are at the very top of the bubble. And I think that more people need to realize this. Like, when you and I would go to junkets together, I would see you and Way there, and we would do the same interviews. I would always watch your interviews, and I would be like, ah, I missed that question, or ah, I like the way you worded it better. So I just wanted to put a little, put you over a little bit and say, I always compared work, and I always admired your work from afar, even if it was in a competitive spirit. So I just wanted you to know that. I wanted everyone to know that publicly as they're listening to this.
Well, Arta,
and I hate you, and you're awful, and you're the worst, and how dare you.
I thought I was.
Yeah, well, that's assumed.
Oh, okay.
Well, I very much appreciate it, Arta. I'm going to take this soundbite, and I'm going to send it to every YouTube commenter out there, because we have the authority here, Arta Ocal, to literally lay down the law. And very, very kind words, Arta. We will definitely have you back, and it was great to get you on this show. I really appreciate you joining us. This was a lot of fun.
Talk to you soon. I hate you, Jimmy.
Right back at you, bro.
In all the years of doing this, that was a first. I mean, we have Jimmy Corderas on, and then all of a sudden, a surprise entrant while we're in the middle of another guest.
I know. Wow.
Arda Ocal.
Yeah. This
resurfaces.
This was
in the pro wrestling world.
It was one of those moments like AJ Styles appearing at the Royal Rumble. You know, one of those moments that you'll never forget.
Wow. What a return.
Mm-hmm. And what a reunion.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Who would have thought?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just the gods were looking down upon us. Way. Who would have known that Ardo would know to chime in right as we're chatting with one Jimmy Corderas.
That is right. I'm very happy to hear Ardo is doing very well.
Yes. Sounds yes. Like. He is. He's hosting a hockey show now on the MSG Network.
The man is in love. He found love.
He's doing.
Not only did he find a new career in the States, he found love.
He found a smile.
Yes.
I think that's fair to say.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a lot of fun, to catch up with Arda. So, yeah, we will do a future review away with him at some point. If you're so inclined.
If it's another super class, I'll probably be busy.
You might be. It's tough because sometimes for these, I always feel guilty having a guest on for the full review because I feel sometimes that you have to challenge for, to get your shit in.
No, you should not feel that way at all. Cause, I'm a fan as well. I like listening. So I'm a good listener.
You are.
That's what ladies tell me.
That's very nice. Mm-hmm. It's a good quality to have. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you don't listen and you're just reacting and you're just thinking about what you're going to come
and
back
you're talking
and say.
Over other people.
Listening is one of the greatest attributes out there.
Yes.
That's why people are so listening to this show.
No, we hope.
I hope there's a lot of good listeners out there. Well, it's been quite the Christmas show.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's everyone.
Yeah. So thank you everybody for, listening. And, you know, it's always been great. I feel like we've pretty much reached out to everybody we know.
I think so. I mean, I'm pretty happy, you know, to catch up with all of these different people. I mean, it was quite the lineup this year.
Yeah. We had Moro, we had MSL, we had Jay Hunter, Mike Sempervivi, Jimmy Corderas, Arda. I guess what would be missing is like maybe somebody who, like for a wrestling show, we actually don't really have that much in terms of actual wrestlers.
Yeah, I mean,
I guess MSL did wrestle.
Yeah.
Yes, of
retired
course.
Though, as retired. He stated. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it'd be nice to have. It's something that maybe for next year. It's like anything. You don't always get what's on your wish list, but you also think that there's always next year, and if someone like that comes to mind, it would be wonderful. But I do notice that as we have gotten all these wonderful surprises, there is still that one hatch-em-all that you're not facing.
Oh my God.
That one.
Did it fall down?
Wait.
It fell off the table.
Is that the clock?
Oh, man.
Some high clientele joining us here. You know him as Tyson Kidd. TJ Wilson with us here on Christmas morning. A Merry Christmas to you, TJ.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you guys as well.
What is Christmas morning like in the Kidd / Wilson household? How are things on Christmas morning?
You know, the cats, they wake up super excited. They wake me up. They want to open up all their gifts right away. They want to open up all my gifts, all of Natty's gifts. They're spoiled, to say the least, but that's, you know, Christmas in Florida is very different than Christmas in Calgary, I'll tell you that much. It is very different.
Do you miss the snow, or is it something that you're fine having that departure from snow on Christmas?
So like before, when I'd be on the road all the time, I wouldn't actually, I mean, I guess I would avoid it for actual Christmas Day, but I wouldn't, like, I guess it was a while ago now, like 6 years ago, but we had a show in MSG that, you know, for us, Canadian Boxing Day.
Uh-huh.
So the next day, and it was a blizzard. It was a blizzard, man. It was, we drove to Albany that night. Only two cars made it that night. Everybody else stayed over. We made it. And myself and, Harry, and Primo jumped in with us thinking we were the wise Canadians driving through the snow, but little did he realize we got stuck a couple times too. And man, it took like 7 hours to get to Albany, which I think is like a 2.5 hour drive. We made it and Mrs. Carr made it. Everybody else drove in the morning. And I didn't want to risk it. So we drove that night. I mean, which was risking it if you think about it. But the next day, they paved the roads and the roads were great. So in terms of that, being on the road, I wouldn't dodge the snow as much as my family would think living in Florida. But I mean, this year I definitely dodged the snow. I don't miss it, man. I can honestly say I don't miss it.
Is there a reason why so many wrestlers move to Florida, which has sort of become like a real hotbed for, in particular, obviously the performance centers out there. But even prior to that, I mean, Florida seems to just be the place where a lot of wrestlers seem to go to live. And why is that, TJ?
Yeah, I think there's a few things. I think, no state tax when, it comes time, when April rolls around and Uncle Sam comes calling. Obviously the weather, I think this is Hawkins who told me Undertaker once gave him the best advice was like, which of course he doesn't follow. He still lives in New York, but he said, always live somewhere warm. That way, like when it's these months, like, December to March or whatever, or even November, if you're in Canada, if you're in Calgary, I mean, October to April. This way you land somewhere warm on those precious days off on the road. I don't know what initially got a bunch of guys to move down here. I mean, I know I moved down here because of FCW.
Right.
Because originally I lived in, I was only there like a little over a month, McDonough, Georgia. I guess I was there 2 months. I was there the month before it closed down. Then we were there the month kind of in like this weird purgatory where like there were a lot of rumors every day of like, what was happening with us.
I remember
and then
that.
Finally, we got the word that we were. Yeah, man. It was a funny time. I just gotten down there and all of a sudden, like, I did a few shows and then, I was there the infamous day Johnny shut it down. And, then we kind of had this month of just waiting.
Yeah. And that was, NXT was forming, but I mean, you guys were kind of not being kept in the loop here. And I mean, it was a lot of guys. They were like trying to just find out what they could online of like, what's happening? Is developmental shutting down? What's even happening here? I mean, that had to be quite the time period for you guys where everyone's asking everyone just what's going on here.
Yeah. And, man, I don't really want to,
Yeah. We don't have to go into it.
Big Brodus, he's a master, man. I took a liking to him right away and vice versa. I'm a big, rap fan. And as a kid, the first rapper I was introduced to in terms of his music was Snoop. And so here's Brodus, who's a former bodyguard of Snoop. And, so I would just ask him a million questions. But anyway, this guy always, he's a master, man. We still text all the time. He had an inside track. I remember, Before Deep South shut down, he's like, Deep South shutting down next week. And I was like, come on, man. I was like, and what happened to us? He's like, then we're going to move down to Florida. And I was like, I thought like, okay, whatever. Dude, the next week, Deep South shuts down. And I looked like when there's like, hey guys, you got to come back tonight. There's a meeting. I look over at Brodus and I was like, this is it. I was like, yeah, man, this one. Yeah, and dude, he was right. That's the thing about him is like he finds stuff out. He's a master. He's a master networker. If you've ever come across Brodus Clay, especially on a good day, I've seen him maybe have some bad days, but if you come across him on a good day, he's a great networker.
That's a great guy to have around for that kind of info. Any guys you're listening to right now? Any stuff that's on your iPod right now that's got your ear?
What's in the beats?
Yeah, it's definitely coming out the beats. The new J. Cole album. Big J. Cole fan, big Jeezy fan. I'm trying to think who. I mean, I have so much stuff on my iPod. It's funny, I actually still use an iPod. I don't really use my phone. I use my phone, like it's weird. When I go to the gym, I use my iPod to work out and then my phone. to listen to podcasts while I do cardio. It's a weird thing mentally that, like, I'd rather be engaged in a podcast doing cardio and feel like I'm in this conversation, and the time goes by way quicker. I don't know what it is. I don't even remember how it came about. It just is like, I'm very much a creature of habit, and this is just my habit of what happens. But,
can I ask?
My iPod's a lot. I mean, a ton of Tupac, Eminem, Biggie, some Saigon, some Jay-Z, Nas, a lot of like those old guys. But in terms of current, I like Jeezy and J. Cole.
Can I ask where the idea for the headphones came from for as part of your look?
Oh, I mean, straight MMA. I'm a huge UFC fan, and I have a question for you guys. Am I going to see you guys at 207 in a few days or no?
Unfortunately, we won't be down for that one. We did go to New York and then up here in Toronto for 206, but unfortunately won't be there. That's pretty cool that you're going to the Vegas card. I do want to ask you about Amanda Nunes and Ronda Rousey, because I think this is the most interesting fight of Ronda Rousey's career just because of all of the questions going into this fight.
Man. Yeah, you know, and we haven't seen Ronda in a year. That's tough, man. I'm a huge Rousey fan, and how much she meant to the sport, and how much she really carried UFC for a while, and especially as a woman, you have to really respect that. I personally would like to see Ronda win, but that's me. But the funny thing is, like, if you think about that title. So now there's been four different champions, and Ronda's the only one who's been able to successfully defend it, which is pretty crazy that, like, Holly beat her, but then Holly lost to Tate, then Tate lost to Nunes. So, like, this is either going to be either Nunes becomes the only other girl to successfully defend it, or Rousey takes her title back.
It's also interesting. I mean, Cain Velasquez is fighting Fabricio Verdum on this card, and I cannot remember a time where a fighter, especially at this level in Cain Velasquez, has already announced that he's got surgery booked right after this fight, which is either the craziest thing I've ever heard or maybe the smartest if Cain Velasquez is just throwing this out there without any surgery booked.
Yeah, that's the thing. Man, it's such a... What I do a lot of my day, I watch a lot of, like, on YouTube, I watch people will just clip specific things from, like, Rogan's podcast or, like, an interview. Actually, last night, sounds like I'm lying, I just watched the Johnny Hendricks career retrospective or whatever.
Oh, cool.
That you guys put out, the Law put out.
Hey, awesome. Sweet.
What's that channel called? The Fight Network. I don't have that here. The Fight Network.
We need to get the Fight Network into the Tyson Kidd household in Florida. We need to work on our U.S. expansion.
Yeah.
Just for you.
I would absolutely love that. But I watched that. Yes, like I love that type of stuff. I like seeing people's stories, and you realize, you know, the first time you watch MMA or UFC specifically, you just think like the first time you see it, you're just like, oh, it's two guys fighting. And then you realize like all the mind games into it. And then, I mean, you realize how much of it is mental and mm-hmm. all this crazy training that goes into it. And you, so yeah, man, I don't know. I don't know if Kane's just like kind of throwing that out there as like a red herring or if this, or is this guy that like not insane, but is he this like tough and this wild that like he truly has this surgery scheduled post fight, but he's going to fight anyway. At this level is unbelievable. The headphones was a total MMA thing, and I was kind of sick of my music that I was coming out to, and it didn't. It at the time I was doing like the Natty's Husband thing. The music didn't match what I was doing whatsoever. But the music in my headphones matched who I was, so I was like, I'm gonna come up with these headphones. Jimmy Iovine's son worked for WWE at the time, Jamie.
Uh-huh.
Great guy. And so I figured, like, I can wear these Beats and I can't get in that much trouble. Worst case, they tell me never to do it again. The first time was on that takeover, so it's live. And I was like, worst case is they just tell me not to do it again. But one of the Beats, you know, co-founder's son works here, and he hooked up a lot of guys with Beats. So generous, man. And so I was like, if he wasn't here, I could maybe see myself getting in a bit of trouble, but I can't get in that much trouble with him here. And then, I mean, somehow, you know, I got to the back end of all people. It was funny. We weren't a team yet. Of all people, Cesaro was like, man, you're a genius. I don't care for my music either. I wish I thought of that. So, but it, I mean, and we didn't even team for another like 3 months, but it just was a funny, like, we've always gotten along, but it just was a funny, like, thing. And then next thing you know, we're teaming, and he's like, hey, can I wear the headphones too?
That is like the best commercial for Beats and their noise canceling function. The fact that you can cancel out your own music to listen to your own.
Oh,
it's great.
Yeah, man, you don't understand. So I think the first time Cesaro actually ends up wearing the Beats, I had a singles match, so he takes my headphones from Natty. And he actually put them on ringside. And then he was like, which I've had a lot of fans tweet me about too. They'd be like, I don't see why you're obviously not listening to anything. And I was like, you ever heard of this new thing? There's this new invention called Bluetooth. You don't need a wire. It's so crazy. But I'm like, of course I'm actually listening to music. But Cesaro put them on. And he was like, man, he's like, music that's coming out of there. He's like, when I put them on, I'm just in my own world. I said, exactly. This is exactly what I do. I literally, like, I'd hear my music in Gorilla and I'd hit the little button for play and, like, I wouldn't be able to hear anything until I took them off. It was a very funny thing to do.
That's amazing.
I believe they're, like, in-ear wireless ones now for working out specifically. So maybe one day we'll actually see a wrestler wear headphones during a match to get them into the zone. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to be a guy that would try that out. I would, I've seen those new wireless ones, the in-ear ones. So I think it's possible. I didn't realize for the longest time that R-Truth actually, he might be the first guy. He actually comes up with little earbuds in when he's singing.
Oh, really?
On his entrance. Okay. You can't. I literally didn't know this until, like, for the longest time. I had no clue at all. Until I saw him, like, I had my headphones on, and then he's like, hey, look at me, and he had his little earbuds, and I was like, do you always come out with those? And that's what he explained, like, yeah, so he can hear the music, and there's not the delay of, like, him speaking in the microphone and waiting for the sound to come back or whatever.
Monitors.
Mm-hmm. TJ.
So he's the inventor, so you know what? He could wrestle with those buds in for sure. I know he could.
This is amazing. This is quite something that I had never known before about one R-Truth. Now we'd be remiss without asking you, and you don't have to go super in depth or anything, but a lot of people just want to know how you're doing, TJ. This is obviously a very difficult part of your career, but how is the neck and the rehab going for you?
Yeah, I mean it's just is one of those things. It's a long, lengthy process that's like, it's kind of out of my hands. I have to kind of just listen to my body, and every day is, I think helps. It's one of those things that it just has to fuse and take to the fusion, and like the bone just has to like do its own thing. There's not too much I can really, do to make it go any faster. It just is one of those things where it just like kind of goes at its own speed and like takes its own. It's like one of the few times where like where I really have to listen to my body. My body's like in control of me, and I'm like, okay, you're in charge. You do your thing, and I just have to almost be like an observer. Like, okay, I feel decent today. Okay, it's coming along. So I just have to. It's one of those things that really like it sounds so like cheesy or cliche. It just is one of those. Day by day type things.
Right. Are you able to watch wrestling the same way, or is it difficult? Because I'm curious if kind of MMA has almost taken that from you, because I can imagine a lot of guys when they are dealing with injuries, it's very hard to just watch wrestling when they're dealing with an injury like that.
Yeah, it goes through waves of like, okay, let me watch this, and then waves where I'm like, eh. I miss it tonight. I'm not too bothered. So I mean, I haven't really been watching that much recently in the last little while. Not religiously by any means, you know. It's just, yeah. I feel it was weird. So I'd seen, and actually I remember texting with you about when Connor jumped over the cage that time and gotten all those fakes. I actually remember texting with you about it, and you're like, yeah, although like it's hard to bet against the guy who's undefeated for this long, and you're like, his heart didn't skip a beat or whatever. So anyway, when the injury went down, and then so Aldo pulls out of that fight with Connor in July last year. That was my birthday.
Oh,
so
wow.
I'm just sitting here with a neck brace on watching Connor and Chad. And I'd seen Connor before, but he hadn't really – he caught my eye when he jumped that cage. I knew who he was. And I was like, okay. I knew, like, oh, this guy's a great talker and a great personality. And so that just happened. It sounds so, like, weird or, like, fabricated. But it was my birthday, and I was ordered UFC, and I was watching it. And then, like, Connor against Chad, he was like, oh, this is a wrestler, this is who's supposed to beat him. And then just to watch Connor like win, and just the way the crowd reacted, and I think that's the fight with Sinead O'Connor, right?
Where she did his entrance live. Yeah, Wei was at that card,
and I was like, wow. Yeah, see, and I was like, man, what a spectacle this is. And I fully jumped on the Connor train since then, big time. And I think it just kind of gave me something like I don't know about a distraction, but it kind of gave me like a whole different thing to kind of, I've always been a fan of MMA. It just, when you're on the road, I'd miss a lot of shows. Like I remember seeing, the Ronda Sarah McMahon fight with the real quick armbar? Which I guess is a lot of Ronda's fight.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she had,
Katsangano was really quick.
Katsangano was super quick. Yeah, that was the one with the submission. Because then she had Alexis Davis and Betch Kohan. Yeah. I mean, they were all, you know, less than a minute.
The Katsangano, I was on the road, and then, like, Cesar and I are traveling, and then, like, I was like, yo, there's, and those ones were big ones, Ronda fights. I'm like, there's a Ronda fight, and we go to some place, and, like, Cesaro text Seth, so like Seth came in, and then so like we watch like the last two fights on the card just because that's the way the schedule is. We're like, so I was always a fan, but I couldn't be as like hardcore obviously as I am right now, where, you know, I watch Fight Pass, I watch the all the embedded, I went to Punk's fight in Cleveland, and a guy that used to work in WWE and now works in UFC on the PR side of things, he hooked us up with some like VIP thing, and I met Cody Garbrandt there. And then the coolest guy in the world, he kind of recognized me, but of course, not from, I don't think from wrestling, from Total Divas. And he followed me on Twitter, and he DM'd me that night and was like, dude, I recognize you. I just want to make a thing about it. And then we DM, and then he's like, here's my number. And I text him all the time, and he's like, I really want to shut my fight. I think I'm going to fight Cruz in Vegas. And then it was announced, and I was like, man, I'll be there. And he's so cool, man. Such a cool guy. So.
Well, that's awesome. Well,
it's just cool seeing that world. And like, I met Forrest Griffin that day, where he's like, man, I respect everything. I respect the things you guys do. And it's just cool to see like their world, because I respect the hell out of those guys, man. Every single one of them. You can't not respect them.
Yeah. No, it's, that's very cool that you've, just kind of immersed yourself into it. And UFC 207, I think it's going to be, a great card to close out the year. We don't want to keep you any longer, Tyson. We just wanted to chat with you a bit here on Christmas morning, and, wish you a Merry Christmas, your whole family as well. And, you know, a lot of people just want to hear an update from you, and, glad to hear that, you know, you seem to be in tremendous spirits, and, I hope you really enjoy the card on Friday. It's going to be a fun one.
No, thank you guys very much. And I try to keep my spirits up, but that's the one part, like with the fusion and all that, I have to let it do its own thing. But my spirit and my mindset, I have more control over that probably than I do with my neck. So I try to keep that, you know, as high as I can. And I appreciate you guys reaching out, and Merry Christmas to everybody listening, all the Law listeners, you know, so I'm one of them. So, you know, thank you guys very much.
Are you kidding me?
Good one.
What a surprise entrant.
I'm amazed.
Tyson Kidd, TJ Wilson.
pretty big get.
Yeah.
I would say. What a surprise for all of us involved. Mm-hmm. Well, that was a lot of fun. That is the real end of our guest list. But what an array of talent we were joined by over the past little while thus far.
Well, how do we top that?
I'll ask myself that in about 50 weeks' time. Mm-hmm. That will be the plan. But this would not be a Review Away Christmas show without the Review Away Jingle Contest, where we are going to be giving a number of prizes out. But we are going to listen to all of these jingles. As we start this way, do you have a favorite Christmas song? Is there one that comes on the radio that really gets you in the festive mood?
No, not really.
Wonderful.
What's yours?
Oh, boy. I'm a big fan of Darlene Love. I think no one tops her.
The fuck is that?
She did Christmas, Baby Please Come Home, All Alone on Christmas, that as a Home Alone 2 fan you might be familiar with, as Kevin McAllister finds himself in New York City.
Don't know that one.
Boy. You know, when I was in high school, we had this campaign every Christmas called Can Aid, where you would bring in cans for the poor around Christmas time. Yeah. So before our first class, to promote this, they would play that Band-Aid song on the PA. Mm-hmm. So in grade 9...
Do they know it's Christmas?
Do they know it's Christmas? Yeah. So they'd play it, and then at the end they'd promote Can-Aid. So my first year of high school when they started playing this, I mean, I'm 14 years old at the time, I assumed that this song was like our school band or something.
Oh, you thought they made it up?
I thought it was our school that had made this this collaborative song.
Okay.
And then it was in grade 10, I think I learned that, no, this was actually a very popular Christmas song from a number of very big artists that were much above the scope of Brebeuf. That was a fake laugh, but thanks for listening anyway. I appreciate it, Wei. Yeah, Wei wants to get to the jingle contest.
It's easily easy mistake for somebody, I guess, born in a different time.
Yeah, it was just... That was the first time I had heard that song, was in high school. I never heard that as a kid. It was not in regular rotation for
me. If only they had a fact-checking thread for your entire life.
That would have been wonderful. Like a pop-up. Like when you say something and you just want to be corrected on the spot. That seems like something that is not that crazy of an idea.
Really is the next level for Chris once he's finished tackling all the fact-checking.
Like virtual notifications in your... Like maybe something to go with like your, whether it's a smartphone, it can like Siri can detect you saying a fucking crazy fact, and then it'll buzz you and the UK consists of, and then you just know it right away.
Yeah,
that's the next level Wei. That will be the Hatch-em-all of 2030.
But what would human life be without errors? You know, we're not robots. We're not machines. Our errors are what makes us human.
Sometimes it's steering off the path that makes us appreciate the path, and it's our mistakes that lead us to our greatest triumph.
Yes.
Let us get to this, because I'm sure we'll see some mistakes and some people triumph in this jingle contest. Are you ready, Mr. Ting?
I am.
Well, the first one is someone that is very, very well known here in the law community. He's the other bartender, Bartender Ollie.
I don't know if he's a bartender. I think he works in the back.
Okay. Well, Bryden's employee, Ollie.
Yes.
Who was really the link for one Bartender Dave, and now Bartender Dave has...
Oh, he swooped right under
it. He made it onto the show as a guest.
I know.
So, here is Ollie. He says, "Hey everyone in the law universe, it's Ollie from Bryden's. I had two wrestling-themed Christmas songs to sing about. The first one was about Batman and the Iron Sheik watching WrestleMania on Christmas, but instead I decided to sing about a true story that really happened. It's a song called I Got a Hulk Hogan Sex Tape for Christmas. Merry All Holidays.
Oh, my.
And I have a I hope everyone has a glorious new year.
I got a Hulk Hogan sex tape for Christmas. Well, what a terrible visual that would be. And how does that sound? Let's find out.
All right. Here it is. An Ollie original. Think of this instrumental Wei.
not very sex tape like. Sounds like the 90210 theme.
A little bit.
Can you picture Hulk Hogan having sex to this?
I don't want to. I wonder if Jimmy Hart worked on this, on the lyrics.
I can't make out all the lyrics, but
I feel a lot of work went into the lyrics, though.
Yeah, it's kind of drowned out. But I think he's singing about Hulk Hogan having sex. That's Heather Cleft. Oh, my. Okay. Jesus Christ.
You know, I thought... That's how he made a Christmas theme based out of that.
Okay.
I was thinking we might have gotten maybe like a Bare Naked Ladies cover of If I Had $34 Million, maybe.
Oh.
For the Hulk Hogan
tie-in. That's
a
nice one. That's not
well, there
bad.
You have it. That was from Ollie from Brydens.
Yeah.
Full name.
Thanks for putting some time into that. You know, I just wish we could hear some of the lyrics because I'm sure he had some great lyrics. But from what I gathered, it was a tale of a man who wanted many things on his Christmas wish list, but instead got worse than a lump of coal. It is a visual of Hulk Hogan having sex, which is just about the most vile, disgusting human act, I think, imaginable. The thought of this 50, 60-year-old, bald, dyed man with a mustache having sex. Just gross. Just gross.
Well, your reference there to a lump of coal, I know there's a joke out there, given that Heather Clem's new name is now Heather Cole. Which she is after leaving Todd Clem. But we're going to move on from that.
Oh, gross.
What when the inevitable made-for-TV movie comes out, what do you think the name of the Hulk Hogan made-for-TV movie will be? Because there's so many different options you can go with. It will have to be...
Say Your Prayers.
When It Comes Crashing Down.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
I mean, that would kind of be pre-judgment, though. I mean... Do you feel?
Oh, well, the story is yet to be over, John. I'm sure it's there's.
What's he going to do with this money?
Oh, try to invest it into a new restaurant, maybe.
Hogan's Beach,
a new pasta restaurant.
It could be Hogan's Ocean after this. Whatever he uses that money for.
I say he just invests it wisely. How about that?
Yeah, he's just going to get some conservative stocks and just go with 1%.
Maybe he'll start his own gossip website.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
oh, man.
Hawker. Hulker.
Hulker. Hulker news, brother.
Okay, well, thank you, Ollie. That was nice.
Okay, next up is Danny Hernandez. And this submitted on YouTube. Nothing but a Christmas show. So it looks like this will have a video with it.
All right, and do check out all these submissions, including the videos, lawradio.probroads.com.
Yes, we'll leave them up there. So here it is. Nothing but a Christmas show from Danny Hernandez.
One, two, three to the four. Christmas show's here and fucking waiting for the door. Ready to drink some booze and back on up. Cause you know they're about to rip shit up.
Give me the microphone first so I can bust like a bubble. They have PS online, we know our trouble. Ain't nothing but Christmas show, baby. Long away makes shit go crazy. Now brother Nate's online, ready to keep it 100. Happy Christmas, Law Family. Peace out.
Oh. Dare I say it. Not since the notorious DJ Jopo have I heard a more offbeat rapper than Danny Hernandez.
Why, thank you.
Wow, incredible.
Well, I think he was certainly putting all of his eggs into the relevant lyrics basket.
I mean, again, I couldn't make out most of those lyrics. What did you hear?
I heard crazy, baby.
Can you play some of the, just don't play the whole thing again, but just, I want to hear.
It's only 30 seconds.
I want to try to decipher some of these lyrics in the middle there. Like, what's he saying here?
Trouble ain't nothing but Christmas show, baby. John Away makes shit go crazy.
John Away makes shit go crazy.
What?
Christmas Law Family. Peace out.
Okay.
He's keeping it 100.
Cool. Nice. Not bad. I wonder if Tyson Kidd is still listening, because I know he's a big Snoop Dogg fan, as he mentioned.
He just put his Beats on to cancel out that song, perhaps. I don't know if that's going to be on his iPad.
Yeah, somebody could walk out to the ring listening to that.
Our next entrant
Are we seriously giving out DVDs to everybody?
I didn't say that.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to be selective.
Oh, come on. Because some of these guys I don't know.
Brad from Whitby, a.k.a. The Archivist.
A.k.a. Yes, a new moderator on the message board.
Oh, wow.
So watch out.
Why did we need moderators? Why?
Well, because all the spam bots. And because of some of the stupid shit that gets posted up there.
All right, you're going to have to deal with Brad now. All right, Brad writes, inspired by John's recent interview with Christian, here is my song for the contest entitled, Christian, Buddy, Please Come Back. I'm already excited for this. You guys might not understand toddler, so let me mention that the clip at the start is my 2-year-old son Daniel saying, Merry Christmas, John Way. I hope you guys have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Oh, maybe his first words. Maybe the very first
Merry
words
Christmas,
of Brad's song.
John Way.
Yeah.
All right.
At least maybe one of the first 100 words said in this child's life will be our names.
Yes. Here it is from The Archivist. I'm very excited for this. This is already in first place.
Merry Christmas, John Way.
Wow, not bad.
I could make that out.
Christian. He's got charisma in heaps. Christian. He's got so many peeps. His head's taking a whack.
Oh my god.
Please come back.
Oh my god.
Christian. This month was TLC. Without Christian, it's nothing to me.
Christian.
I missed the concerto attack. Christian. Buddy, please come back. The elves visit Santa at the mall. Then it's off to do a pub crawl. Out to 12 bars for some beers. Maybe they'll make it past 8 this year. The poses reeked of awesome. Christian. Who knew how loved they'd become? Christian. 5 seconds to make a moment, Kodak. Christian. Buddy, please come back. Christian. I hear he wrestled in TNA. Christian. About that, I have nothing to say. Let's just say we all forget that. Christian. Buddy, please come back. John and Way put out the call. Though the song's not of a Christmas at all. But the archivist might shed a tear if I don't win the contest this year. Christian. I think I've made my point well known. Alas, I guess we're on our own. So my Christmas wish for Vinnie Mac. Please, 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 please bring Christian back.
Oh, lovely, lovely. Hitting those high notes. In perfect tuning.
Yeah. I mean, that was a, you know, that's what you could call a rough cut, maybe, like that, you know, when you get
rough. What are you saying?
Well, I'm saying that
that was perfect.
I think the lyrics are there, with all due respect to one Brad. I think if this were to be
what?
A release song.
Mariah Carey herself couldn't have sung that better.
You're right. You're right. I'll disagree with Brad. I thought it did have somewhat of a Christmas tie-in. Of course, a playoff of the music I just mentioned, Christmas, Baby, Please Come Home.
Oh, that's the song?
That's the song he...
Oh, so you must really love this.
I like this a lot.
Maybe this is your new favorite.
And I don't know if this was intentional, but with the lyric, Buddy, Please Come Back. I mean, Buddy being the elf played by Will Ferrell in Elf. That was the elf's name.
Wow.
So some loose Christmas attachments.
Maybe. How about some of these lyrics, though?
I thought some clever lyrics in there.
Even the line about the guy, he got hit in the head. I don't know if that's a little controversial, I think.
Yeah, definitely. This would certainly be an album that you'd use some discretion.
You put the explicit sticker on
definitely,
the front.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, this is not just any Christmas album you could release.
But I'll say, out of the three, number one.
I think so what far. We value highest is the work we sense was put into it, and there was definitely a lot of effort put into this.
I can at least, as offensive as they may have been, I could at least hear the lyrics.
That is true. Now, the next one up is Canadian Bulldog, who was kind enough to send us the lyrics if we want to follow along for his song.
Okay.
So let us... I love the use of SoundCloud, everyone. Okay, this is
Canadian Bulldog here. Don't pretend like you don't know who I am. And welcome to another edition of Canadian Bulldog's World Radio. Canadian Bulldog's World Radio is, of course, brought to you by CanadianBulldogsWorld.com, your scrapbook in the holiday season. And I thought instead that I was in the podcast there reading all that.
Skipping all this. With all due respect, it's a contest. It's not an open forum to just have your free advertisements. Like, look at this. This is a minute 36 intro here.
Maybe he was explaining about the concept of his
How many songs, Wei, do you ever listen to where the artist comes on to explain his song ahead of time?
That is true.
If you can't get the emotion and the message across within the song...
Maybe that was the song, though. Maybe him talking, maybe this was a spoken word.
This was the jingle contest, not the monologue contest.
All right, let's get to the song itself.
Okay, let's hear it. Canadian Bulldog.
It's insania. It's time for WrestleMania.
Okay, he's winning
here
me over here.
Pennsylvania. They'll be watching WrestleMania. After the Royal Rumble and all the other fights comes one of WWE's biggest annual nights. Kevin Owens and AJ Styles looking for main event money. But it'll probably be Goldberg and Brock Lesnar. Isn't that kind of funny? There's definitely a WrestleMania gig for The Undertaker. Triple H will find a reason to fight too. What a faker. The grandest stage of them all. It is an event not to be missed. And if you skip it, you stupid idiot, guess what? You just made the list. It's insania. It's time for WrestleMania. Last year's event was kind of lame-ia. If we're not the next WrestleMania, a big bump for Shania this year at WrestleMania. The Blue Roman Rania at WrestleMania. 5 hours of miscellanea leading up to WrestleMania. I'll probably book Mark Henry and Kania in the pre-show for WrestleMania. I miss Bobby the Brainia at WrestleMania. Say yes to Daniel Bryania and have a happy, 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 happy WrestleMania.
Woo! Oh, he's got an extra.
There you go. I promise it would be kind of lame. Promise this would be a brief podcast. Podcast? Sure, why not? Podcast. And I promise...
Let's quit. You just need to quit while he was ahead there. That was a very good entry.
Very good.
I didn't need it bookended. All due respect.
Yes.
That was very clever. Yes. Obviously, a playoff of the Hanukkah song by Adam Sandler. Mm-hmm. Very clever, I thought.
I thought so.
I like this.
I didn't know there were so many things that rhymed with anus.
Well, it's...
In wrestling.
It's kind of you can just add
the IA at the end.
No, that's not true.
The most.
That's not true.
You just need a good N.
What's he doing?
Well, I'm not saying I can. I'm just stating. Like, it's no, he put a lot of work into this. And it was a plus that he included the lyrics because I was following along here. And I think that added to the experience.
Very nice.
A very good entry from the Canadian Bulldog. Next up is Imran from Huddersfield in the UK.
Is that even a real place?
Huddersfield.
It sounds like something you would make up for Britain, for like a British thing. We'll have to ask our new British audio wrestling friends.
Yes, tell us about Huddersfield.
Huddersfield.
A large market town, and it's the largest settlement in the metropolitan borough of Kirklees, West Yorkshire, England.
These all sound like Harry Potter things, like something in the
population, 162,949. Plan a trip. The Huddersfield Travel Guide.
All right. Well, that's nice. What kind of music do they make in Huddersfield?
Well, he has sent Merry Christmas, Way It's Over is the title.
Okay.
So I imagine this is a John Lennon tribute.
So this is Christmas, and way are you done? Another are over, and a SmackDown's just begun.
Oh,
oh boy, this is pretty good.
So true.
So this is wrestling. Review it with John. He sends you 10 messages. You reply to just one.
Fucking true.
Very true.
A very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. There's still Raw and SmackDown. 260 hours of fear. And so this is Christmas, but no one looks strong. No cruiserweights over. The booking's all wrong. And so this is wrestling, but it's not just all shite. For every darenium, there's five Owens fight. A very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Not just Raw and SmackDown. Now 205's here. So this is Christmas, but we are not done. When one show is over, another one comes along. And so this is wrestling. You can rest Wednesday nights, but get ready for Friday to review Bragging Rights.
Oh my.
A very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. More coffee and contests and John's impressions to hear. Is over if you want it. Pollard solo now. Way it's over if you want it. Pollard solo.
Chills down,
man,
the spine.
From the basement of the church.
Oh boy, there we go.
You owe it to yourself to click on the link just see the artwork attached to this with myself and Wei as John Lennon and Yoko Ono.
And give you one guess as to who's Yoko and who's John.
Well, very nice. Very nice. I think sending me a message telling me, hey, I don't have to do this. I have a choice. Just like how the Vietnam War didn't have to happen. They had a choice. And I guess every week, this struggle to continue doing this show is kind of like the Vietnam War.
Well, I am never going to listen to that John Lennon song again and not think of Raw and SmackDown. He does say here, John's face fit his namesake, Mr. Lennon's, quite well. And Wei, this is just a joke. Please don't give up podcasting anytime soon. From Imran in Huddersfield.
Making me think long and hard, but thank you very much.
Oh, that was some work. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that. All right. It would not be a contest without the man we met month ago during Toronto.
We met somebody who knows our next poster. We did not meet our next poster.
Oh, that's okay. Right. That's
he's
right.
He's not meetable.
Elmo. We met his agent.
Yes, yes.
In
yes,
Toronto yes. last month.
We met his handler, let's yes. just say.
So his submission here, it is a video. And again, me and Wei don't listen to any of these until now. And all I'm seeing right now is a screenshot of the MMA Hour where Ariel Helwani is on the phone with Elmo.
Oh, my.
So I can only guess where this is going to take us.
Let's watch.
I'm excited for this. Oh, my goodness.
Can I get a little help in here?
I think Kane just murdered Triple H.
Now that's best for the holidays.
It's the most wonderful time of the year!
What is this from?
It's from video. The WWE.
They put this out?
Yeah.
Well, obviously. I've never seen this before. And this is like years old.
I'm pretty sure Elmo just sang the WWE's viral video.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, did he do anything other than recite the own lyrics?
I don't think so. Can you Google? Let's look it up right now.
Like, I've never seen this video before.
Google WWE.
Happy
Christmas.
Holidays from the WWE video. Well, there it is. Happy holidays from the WWE.
Let's hear the original.
When the flurries are sticking, Seamus is bro-kicking, and the bellas are near. It's the most wonderful time.
Not since... Not since Gaurav Kumar submitted his John Cena rap to our rap contest has there been a more controversial entry to one of our song contests.
I'm sorry, Elmo's had some good ones over the years, but this was not his...
Elmo, you should have known. You should have learned from
He did spray paint Elmo on the Happy Holidays sign from the WWE.
Enough, not good enough to just do a cover, okay, of somebody else's
He's become song. Too reliant on the voice.
No. Way too much. He's gotten complacent, perhaps, after meeting after his handler met us.
He thought he had an in with us. No. He thought we were going to lower the bar. No. Not so.
The bar is raised.
We have two left here. One is just a Christmas, it's just lyrics that they've sent.
Okay.
Am I going to read this?
Yes.
This is from Head Cheese. 'Twas the day before Christmas, review a heartbeat away, with Head Cheese having an extreme lack of musical abilities, but decided to make a poetic list of WCW Christmas occurrences that you should not miss. In 1995, Nitro Mongo introduced Pepe in a Santa outfit as well. In the second-to-last match, it was the Malenko who was a Dean versus Mr. JL. There was Rick introducing a Christmas on a 2001 SmackDown. It has Tajiri as Santa and Steve Austin having a list. There was no Spotted Dick in 2000, John and Way's favorite year of WCW for sure, on Worldwide. Helms and Moore caroled out. The Natural Born Thrillers had to be men and let it not slide. Also on WCW, 1996 Christmas Brawl Tour, six defeated Big Bubba.
Sorry, is this a poem or like, is this shit supposed to rhyme or what? Is this just like a somebody's review of something? What? How is that supposed to work?
Our final entrant is from the Podfather. We're moving on. This is our final entrant.
Oh, please end us. But I'm hoping for a strong ending here from the Godfather.
It says, I woke up this morning to find this on my doorstep. Apparently, it's a new Christmas classic from the Smart Marks. Braxton and the boys send their regards to the Law Universe. They wish they could come to the big party Brother Pollock planned, but they're busy getting ready for their performance at the Trump inauguration party.
Oh, yes.
I hope everyone's having a fun and safe holiday season. Here it is.
Braxton Witherspoon. And the Smart Marks.
Braxton Witherspoon from Chattanooga, Tennessee, by way of Temecula, California. And these are the Smart Marks.
Hey!
Back at them. We're back again for Christmas time. A wonderful celebration, family and friends, and we got a song we want to sing for you about the New World Order. NWO, yes, that's right, the New World Order. Oh, Braxton. What, Larry?
We can't sing that song.
And why not?
Because we don't want to get sued by Shirley Caesar.
Shirley Caesar? Why would she sue us?
Because she's suing everybody.
So you mean I can't sing the song about I got Hall, Nash, Hogan, Bischoff, Buff, Horace, Giant, Vincent.
No, not at all.
So what we gonna do?
I guess we'll have to sing that song about Broken Matt Hardy.
Well, all right, like to hear it. Here it goes.
Let's do it.
Russo Records.
Hoo-dee-hoo.
Whoa.
Oh, yes. Here we go. You're a smart one. Broken Matt. With help from the seven deities. You're a legend and a fable. Contract signings, busted tables. A broken Matt. Your wife's a bad mama jamma. And your son loves green beans. We see you out there, King.
What's up, Maxwell?
Swinging. Christmas time, y'all. You're a prophet. Broken Matt. I hope your scribe is taking notes. You got a gardener with a taser. Your kangaroo was once Joe Frazier. Broken Matt. You are so crazy. Your best friend's a dilapidated boot. Yeah, Skarsgård in the house, everybody.
I had the Roman candles.
Having a wonderful time here. Christmas, everybody. Holiday season. We see you, Vanguard 1. Hey, Vanguard 1, switch to the soft focus so we can reintroduce to the people out there. Back by popular demand. Lisa Moretti on the ivory sounds so good, don't you agree? Yes. All right, boys, let's take it home. Oh, you're reincarnated, Broken Matt.
so you far from obsolete. Your brother Nero has an affliction. It's a spot monkey addiction, broken man. The three words that best describe you are as follows, and I quote, delete, delete, delete. Happy holidays, everybody. We'll see you next year. Happy New Year, Lord Universe.
Wow. 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 There's a standing ovation here.
Wow.
In the Reveal Way Studios.
We only hear from Braxton Witherspoon and the Smart Marks once a year, but boy, do I wait all year for that.
And boy, was he necessary in this year's competition.
A big finish for our contest, which was, I guess, of mixed results this
glad
year.
We saved the best for last, and I mean the best.
All right, Way. Well, you are familiar with all of the DVDs we have to get rid of.
Yes.
So we are going to go through each entrant and decide if they are going to get a prize or not.
Oh, this part's mean.
Well, this is not an easy job, Way. Oh, these are the decisions that one has to make.
All right, okay.
We're going to start at the top with Ollie from Bryden's, who had I Got a Hulk Hogan Sex Tape for Christmas. Prize or no prize?
Yes.
Which one should we give him of the ones we have?
Prize.
Which
DVD?
Or is it going to be a surprise?
I really don't know what DVDs you have.
Everyone. All right. We're just going to decide on prizes.
Nobody, who wants to listen to that?
Okay.
We should make this more Christmas theme, whatever.
You could say gift or coal.
Okay, whatever.
Danny Hernandez, Nothing But a Christmas Show.
Well, he did, I guess, put the effort into making a video, but and I guess there were lyrics. I couldn't make up the lyrics. Well, this is how I judge, okay? How much effort was put in? How long do you think it took Danny to put this together?
You know, I was expecting more on the video side here when I saw this Christmas tree, but that was it. So the video component really wasn't there. Not to say that you had to have a video component, but when you are...
Oh, it's an extra step. It is.
It can help.
Yes.
It can really help.
Yes. Okay, play it one more time. Let me refresh myself. Oh. Just the lyrics. Just the lyrics. Well, he didn't make this beat, I have a feeling.
1, 2, 3, 2, 4. Christmas show's here. I'm fucking waiting for the 4. Ready to drink some booze and back on up. Because you know they're about to rip shit up.
How much time would it have taken a grown adult male to put this together?
I feel this is probably a 30-minute or less project.
Is it worth the value of a DVD, digital video disc?
You make the call, Way. You're the judge.
I'm going to say no.
Wow. What a man that's in the holiday
spirit. You know the amount of technology and the amount of hard work that gets put into every digital video disc?
No, you're right. The Archivist, Christian, Buddy, Please Come Back.
Yes.
All right. 100%. I think we're both in agreement on that one.
I would say outside of The Podfather, that was the second best entry.
What about a polarizing one?
Oh, you know what? Maybe I take it back. Maybe that was not the second best.
The Canadian Bulldog. I like this one.
This was a very good one.
Yes.
This was a very good one. This was the...
This should be the unofficial theme song for WrestleMania.
This is the Adam Sandler cover.
Yeah, I like this one a lot. 100%,
yes. This one was great.
The Canadian Bulldog.
That was great.
I don't know how we're going to ship it to that name, but we will figure it out. All right. Imran from our favorite place in the UK, Huddersfield.
This is an automatic yes for me. And maybe this was the second best. Maybe these were all second best. Maybe this was the best.
I love this one.
I mean, just even judging by the effort, a lot of effort put into this, including the thumbnail, including the thought behind the very nice lyrics.
He spent time on those lyrics.
He really
did.
That
was pretty obvious.
So the only question is, do we really want to send a package to Huddersfield? Okay. That is the biggest stumbling block. Does this place even exist? We don't know.
We will get a carrier pigeon if we have to. He's getting a prize.
But the answer is yes.
The bigger question is whether he can take a DVD in that format.
Region 1 DVD?
Could be a problem. He might need it in PAL or something. We'll find out. We will we will have a conversation with Imran.
He's probably got the magic, the wizardry to figure it out.
My guess is you and I are in agreement about Elmo.
Sorry, Elmo.
No.
Yeah, not this year.
We're skipping the poem, and I think a safe assumption that Braxton Witherspoon can make some room on the DVD shelf for one more, because he definitely did enough.
Don't forget Lisa Moretti on the Ivories.
Oh, beautiful, and a wonderful, I mean, the lyrics. You want to talk about lyrical genius, that's Braxton Witherspoon.
He's just a great singer, isn't he, Braxton?
Yeah, he is.
I would actually go to a concert.
Someone that I can't put my finger on it, but he just, there's a certain familiarity too with Braxton Witherspoon. But that's what a true entertainer does, is make you feel like you've known the guy forever.
Sure, yeah.
So a wonderful contribution. So he too will be getting a prize.
Yeah.
This isn't Oprah. Everyone doesn't walk away with a prize.
Nope.
Only the best. That's what we promote and encourage here on Review Away. That is going to bring to an end another wonderful Review Away Christmas show. I want to thank all of our guests, Maura Rinaldo, Jason Agnew, Dan the Mouth Lavransky, Mr. St. Laurent, Brian Mann, Nate Milton, Jay Hunter, Chris Charlton, W.H. Park, Mike Sempervive, Braden Harrington, Bartender Dave, Jimmy Corderas, Arda Ocal, and Tyson Kidd for joining us. What a lineup. And you, Wei-Ting, I want to wish you a very happy holiday season. And I feel that going out here, we should listen once more to what you believed was the best entry.
I don't know now. I forgot about some of these other ones. What, in your opinion, was the best one?
Well, it comes down to me to Braxton Witherspoon and Imran. I've got to say I'm kind of leaning Imran.
Let's go Imran.
Here it is. Merry Christmas, Way It's Over. And so is the Review Away Christmas show. Oh, but before we do that, our next Review Away, as the music takes us out, we will be back on Friday, January the 6th of 2017. And you know what we're reviewing?
What?
Wrestling Road Diaries 3 with special guest Colt Cabana.
Nice.
So we will chat with you this coming week. It's the debut of Keep It 2000. We've got the Law's Best of 2016 show happening Sunday night. You can listen at liveaudiowrestling.com. And then Friday, January the 6th, a review of Wrestling Road Diaries 3. That is it. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. All of the holidays out there. Good night. And have a wonderful Christmas day.
But no one looks strong. No cruiserweight's over. The booking's all wrong. And so this is wrestling. But it's not just all shite. For every darenium, there's fight, Owens fight. A very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Not just Raw and SmackDown, now 205's here. So this is...
so... Oh my god, what are we
doing? Dude, I just watched the thing on Breakfast Television on Hatchimals. That's the only reason
god,
I know.
What the fuck? What are we doing? Hatchimal. I don't need to see what this thing looks like. Holy Christ.
Wow! It's going to be barely out now! I can't wait!
This would freak me out if I was like 5.
Yeah. Ew, oh my god.
Talks too?
That's nasty. Ew.
Wonder how much he's go for.
How does it work?
I don't understand how this thing like operates in there.
I guess you turn it on and it'll just like poke holes in like in a circle so that it opens up the thing. No. Oh, you know it'd be great if like there's like embryo inside it.
It's like a human inside?
Yeah. Or a hand.
Oh, here we go, look.
Holy shit.
It's not like some dinky, like, Beanie Baby either, which I was led to believe it was.
You can help him out now.
Yeah.
This has to be like, there has to be some kind of battery or something involved.
Of course there is.
Yeah, I know, but like that sounds a little crazy that this thing's operating. I don't know. Like, could this catch fire?
Yeah, man.
This does seem like a long wait for...
Ugh, gross.
What this is an exercise in patience for a child to not just smash the thing open immediately and take it.
Such a stupid idea, but, I mean, dude, who created this is...
Now what do you do with it? It just sits there.
Oh, it's a stuffed thing.
Like, you're paying for an experience of waiting.
Of course, yes.
Hatchimal price. What do you think this goes for? I'm going to say...
$20.
Like, retail, not...
$20.
I'm going to say, like, $70. I bet you...
What?
Let's see. At Toys R Us, the Hatchimal. $80, dude.
Oh, my God. For one of those?
Yep.
No, one of two.
Supply and demand, way.
Oh, Jesus.
So what do you think?
It's one of those things that we'll look back on and...
Oh, this will totally be made fun of within 3 years. Hatchimals. $90 there.
Okay, well, almost, I'm glad I don't have children. All right, so what's up?
Nothing. I'm trying to think where we can use this. Maybe at the end.
Maybe at the end.